everyone. Hey. Welcome back to our show. Thank you all for continuing to watch. Some of you are new from watching some of our clips that have been kind of, can we say going viral? What's the threshold of going viral?
Well, I mean, you need like 10 million views.
Okay, so we're not viral.
It's not viral.
But we're more than we were before.
And we got some people.
And
maybe one of those people is you.
So thank you so much for watching and joining us today. We have a very special show today. This is kind of different from what we've normally been doing.
But normally, we watch all of the news every Thursday, from 5 o'clock all the way to 11 p.m., and then the late-night comedy shows as well. But this week, we're doing a special election.
So we're going to be watching certain campaign videos, and then we're going to be watching two debates. Two full debates. The first is Ron DeSantis and Charlie Crist down in Florida, and then the other one is. It's hard to say their names,
so I passed it off.
I
thought you were passing it to me to be politically incorrect here.
No.
In responding, but it's John Fetterman.
Stop it. That is
and
not appropriate.
Dr. Oz.
Wow. Okay. I don't know how to say it. Is it Mehmet Oz or how do you say his name?
No, it's fucking Dr. Oz.
Okay, whatever. All right. Anyway, so we're watching those debates live, so it's brand new. But first, wait. Do we need to do an intro?
That was the intro.
Great.
Ha! What?
All right, and we're back. So first off, we have a very special clip to show you. So Envy Pictures, we have been working on a Halloween feature starring our egos, sketch comedy.
Halloween comedy feature film, yes. Sketch comedy.
Yes, it's called Zombies in the Antique Shop. It is a collection, it's a horror comedy horror anthology of 16 different stories.
So y'all know how, Shane Gillis did that, special that was an hour long, but only, 20 minutes of it were sketches.
Ooh,
and,
he's
like,
gonna burn Shane Gillis now.
Of it were actual professional sketches, but this is an hour and a half of professional sketches.
Yeah, and we have a special.
And this is a clip of the one that Kim wrote that's all about politics that's gonna lead us into our political episode, where we break down all the politics before the election.
Yeah,
so
it's called
check
polling.
Out Kim's awesome sketch. Woo! Right now.
My issue would be crime and safety. Sure. Female. 45 to 60 age range. My ethnicity? Hispanic Latino. Sure, you're very welcome.
Did you just tell him you're Latino?
Yes.
You are not Latino.
I'm just having a little bit of fun. That is the sixth poll that's called me this week. I think they should know by now Latinos are going to vote Republican.
But you're not Latino.
Don't be such a stickler. Hello?
Hello, Sandy.
Excuse me, who is this?
We see you've been having some fun with the polls.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you want to play a game, Sandy?
No, I do not want to play a game. Bye.
Don't hang up.
Oh, yeah? And what if I do?
We have your husband.
Jim? He's right here. Jim? What? Where did he go?
Like I said, Sandy, we have your husband. Unless you answer these questions correctly, we will slit his throat.
Oh my god, no, please don't.
Then, will you play this little game?
Sure, alright, I'll do anything. Just don't hurt him.
Very good. Question number one. What is your major issue for voting this year?
What? That's your question?
Is it crime and safety? The economy? Or the threat to American democracy?
Do you want me to answer honestly?
What is the correct answer, Sandy? Think very carefully.
But I don't know what side you're on.
What side will be calling and threatening you right now?
The threat to American democracy?
That is correct, Sandy. Your husband still lives. Next question. Is your life better or worse than it was 4 years ago?
It's better. Way, way better. Inflation is a necessary price to pay for a better world.
That is correct, Sandy. Very, very good.
Thank you.
Final question. And if you don't get this right, we will not only slash your husband, but stab you right in the heart.
Jesus. Okay.
Who do you think is the worst threat to American democracy? Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis?
Can it be both?
That is correct. Thank you, Sandy. Your husband is being released. You are now both safe.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Now remember, Sandy, remember to cast your vote for Charlie Crist this November.
What was that all about?
Oh my God. Thank God you're safe.
Yeah.
Did you get a good look at them?
At who?
Your kidnappers.
What are you talking about? I was just taking a crap in the bathroom. Did you enjoy that? I enjoyed that.
I hope you did. Well, if you did, there is much more coming. We're dropping the full feature on Halloween, Monday, October 31st on Envy. So feel free to continue to follow us. We'll be sharing a lot more details about
Envy
that.
Envy Pictures, envypictures.com, Envy Pictures the app, Envy the app, Envy TV, and independent movies. Hopefully the app will be live
hopefully.
At some point.
Yeah, we're getting really, really close, and we mean that.
I'm being very impatient.
Alex is so
me
impatient,
down.
But
so
it will
much.
Soon be available on Apple. There's a lot of emails that are happening. A lot of emails.
But it'll happen soon.
But it's going to happen soon.
And
on that note, here
on
we
that
go.
Note, we're here.
Boom.
We're ready for our election coverage episode.
Oh, yeah.
First, we're going to go through the 13 most influential or closest races according to 538. Is that what it is? Basically, the people that were completely wrong about the Hillary Clinton campaign and that everybody was like, the polls suck now and everything. Well, you know, we're still listening to them, I guess, because they're the only source that we have. And so these are the 13 closest Senate campaigns.
13. Very superstitious.
And then after that, we're going to go, again, like we said, right into the governor's debate.
Yeah.
And then into the most prominent Senate debate.
Yeah.
So first up, though, we got Nevada is the closest Senate race. And we have Adam Paul Laxalt?
Maybe I should read the names, Alex.
Okay, Adam Paul Laxalt?
Yeah, the Republican, and he's currently at 53%, and Catherine Cortez Masto is a Democrat at 47. But, you know, I mean,
and,
I guess close.
And Catherine Cortez Masto is the sitting senator right now.
Oh, that's why she's got an asterisk
and,
on these notes that Alex
made. And Adam Paul is the attorney general of Nevada running against her.
All right, here
so
we go.
Every time that we see these ads, we will first see the ad for the person that is leading, and then we'll see the person that is trailing behind.
Ooh.
So here are the ads for Nevada's Senate race.
Biden, Pelosi. How do liberal career politicians become millionaires? By putting their own financial interests over yours. They don't care about causing devastating inflation. They can afford it, but we can't. Catherine Cortez Masto doubled her own net worth, becoming a multimillionaire while in office.
I'm Adam Laxalt, and as Attorney General, I refuse gifts of any kind. I'll do the same in the Senate. I approve this message because your senator should help you instead of helping herself.
Ooh, that was some...
This is Edward Cortez.
What?
Born in Chihuahua, Mexico. He immigrated to the U.S.
Birth
and was proud
certificate
to serve
from
our country
a Democrat?
In World War II. He settled in Nevada, became a baker, and raised a
She's
family.
She's just bragging about how
His
her dad is Mexican.
Unique. America has
literally
always
in
been
your
a
campaign.
Place where through hard work and perseverance,
My
generations have made
Mexican.
A better life for themselves and their families. It's what America should still be today. I'm Catherine Cortez Masto. This is my grandfather, and I'm proud to approve this message.
What? Okay, pause that. Okay, so she's like, my grandfather emigrated here, so vote for me. A lot of people's like grandfathers emigrated here, so should we just...
Exactly. Whenever I do that, just ignore it, because we're still chatting here. It's just that I got to match up for the next one sometimes. So Kim's hearing something in her ear, and she doesn't know professionally how to ignore
Basically,
gaps.
She's like, I know that I make millions of dollars, but here's a boring-ass kitchen that I supposedly live in that is, like, really cheap and normal.
And my grandfather was from Mexico.
Don't pay attention to the fact that I'm really rich. And then this Alex, what was his, Adam Paul? I'm making like a car commercial or like an insurance commercial.
No, he was like, everybody's, he insulted everyone first.
Yeah, so he's like, I'm doing an attack ad. And she's like,
I don't need to attack. Look at my birth certificate. I don't know.
My dad's birth certificate in Mexico.
If you're voting in Nevada.
Okay.
Who you vote for?
I'm so confused though. Is that the birth certificate? Then why is there a man's face as opposed to a baby's face? Whose face is on that birth certificate?
True. I don't really understand that part. Anyway, yeah. Again, off those 30-second ads, you live in Nevada, you're voting on Tuesday. Who are you voting for?
I'm voting for the first guy because she's just showing a birth certificate. She's facts. Like, birth certificate!
Facts. All right. And now for our second race, our second closest race. Okay. And our second closest race is Georgia, where we have Raphael Warnock, the sitting senator, who just got in on the 50-50 split vote.
Yeah, and he's at 54%. And then we have Herschel Jr. Walker, Republican, at 46%. So right now it is leaning toward Warnock, and I'm making the call. I think Warnock's going
to
win.
Okay, we got to watch the ads before you jump to conclusions,
well,
all right,
I'm
MSNBC?
Saying, I'm just saying.
You're just deciding this abortion thing is going to put him down. Maybe his ad is out here and it's going to do something different.
Maybe it's a really fan. Maybe it's actually like a Guardians of the Galaxy.
Like he goes with his family and all of his mothers and all of his children to Disney to the new Guardians of the Galaxy ride. Maybe he does that in the commercial.
Certificate
as a Republican.
Yeah,
it's just like whenever you're getting attacked, you just show your grandfather's birth certificate. Where is grandpa's birth certificate? I'm being attacked. Where is his birth certificate?
All right, let's go.
All right, here we go. So Raphael first, followed by Herschel.
Georgia. I'm Raphael Warnock. I'm a dad, a senator, a pastor, but a magician? I'm not. So in just a year in the Senate, did I think I could fix Washington? Of course not.
He just ran on saying.
What I could do for our state. Creating jobs. Fixing infrastructure. Expanding health care. I approve this message because that's not magic. That's doing the job for Georgia.
I mean, that is a good.
I do absolutely agree that it's racist. It is a redux of Jim Crow in a suit and tie.
America has a long history of systemic racism.
You ain't black.
America has a condition is called racism.
Senator Warnock believes America is a bad country full of racist people. I believe.
Well, that was a weird
Zoom.
Full of
generous people.
Yeah, like,
generous
I give hundreds of dollars to women.
Oh, bring us some gear.
I approve this message.
Okay, pause.
Wow.
Why are they both in living rooms? Like, what is this thing? Like,
with
why
the
are they all
rooms?
Being like, I'm coming for my... Like, you have, like, the first dude, Warnock, he's like, I'm sitting on my couch. I'm just a normal guy like you. And then you're Herschel Walker, like, I'm in my study or whatever it is, because it looked like somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all... And what's her face doing that, too? The only guy that didn't do it was, like, the first guy. What's his name?
Adam.
Adam Paul, who's doing like an actual ad.
He's literally the Attorney General of Nevada. I don't know how that's the closest race. I feel like he's definitely gonna win. Maybe it's just that Nevada's super blue or something. But he's the Attorney General.
They are because of Las Vegas.
He's the Attorney General. She's the senator. She refused to debate him. Mm. She's the only person out of all the Senate races that refused to debate.
Mm-hmm.
Won't answer questions as to why she won't debate.
Yeah.
He comes out. He's a literal lawyer for the state. And he's like, look, she's stealing all the money. Vote for me so that this criminal stops stealing money.
Yeah.
And then the criminal is like, burst of cake.
Yeah. Wait, but meanwhile, so for Georgia Warnock's like, okay, dude, I know you elected me a year ago, and I said I would do a lot of shit. I didn't do a lot of shit because, like, I'm not, like, I couldn't do, like, everything because it's, like, really hard to do, like, everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm just doing what I can. And then Herschel Walker's like, I believe that we're not racist.
And he believes we're generous people.
So he believes we're racist. So again, we gotta go. We've got this weird attack ad going.
So if you were living in Georgia voting on Tuesday, who are you voting for?
I don't know. Actually, I think I might vote for Warnock because, like, his ad is it's like basic common sense, like being like, I know I didn't do everything that I said I was going to do, but I'm doing stuff.
I like the approach. It's just that we both laughed when we heard it. So it isn't necessarily working. And I think that it's because that person was publicly in the national eye, like, mm-hmm. basically a year ago.
Yeah.
Saying that if we voted for him, all of the world's problems would be solved then the Democrats would be in... And it's like we so easily forget that person's campaign was nationally about that.
Yeah.
And now he's sitting here and he's going, well, I didn't say I could fix anything.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like you just told us you could fix everything if we just voted you in. Because then Kamala Harris would have the vote and we would change all of America.
Elaine's clearly
didn't
bored.
Get changed.
She's just gone.
I'm going to go with Herschel. Because I do believe there's too much racism going on there, and there's too much shady stuff going on with the guy. Okay. Fuck. And then we lost it. Okay. So now we're back.
We had a little bit of technical difficulties.
Yeah, we did. We had some technical difficulties. Kim took her socks off.
I took my socks off.
Also, I'm recanting that. I'm not going to vote for Herschel Walker. I forgot that he was mentally ill and all of that thing. So...
Alex just realized that Herschel Walker's not going to win, and he just wants to be on the winning team.
Okay. All right. Wait, I mean, true.
That's
too.
True. That's
I mean,
true.
Well, what's? I mean, with both of those, though, are we being honest? I think I would rather have Raphael, and I would rather have Adam for those first two.
Yeah.
Really would.
See, which makes us true independents.
It's right from the start, the two toughest contests simplified. And on opposing sides.
And if you're watching this and you thought we were swinging one way or the other, you're probably really confused. But yeah, we are true independents. Like, we can lean certain ways in different ways, but honestly, like, we think independently.
Yeah, we think independently. We think you should too.
Yep.
That's why you should watch this. And if you have somebody that's crazy in your family that's either only watching Fox News or only watching MSNBC, you know, kind of like our viral clips that are talking about the Rolling Stone guy going crazy on fact checks and not listening to Fox News or whatever.
Yep. Alex.
If you got somebody like that in your family,
Alex,
make them watch this episode so that they can see everything that's going on in this election cycle and they can vote for themselves.
I'm hitting play.
Yeah. So the next one we got here is... Oh, wait. Oops. I muted it. Oops. Instead of pausing it.
All right.
Hold on.
Is Pennsylvania the one that everyone's talking about?
And then you did this to me and now it froze. Oh, there it goes. Oh. Ow, but just get it. And I'm Herschel Walker.
Okay, pause it.
Okay, Pennsylvania.
So we got John Fetterman, the Democrat.
John Fetterman.
Who is currently at 60% and Mehmet Oz, the Republican, at 40%. So I don't understand how that's close at all. There's a 20% difference.
Well, apparently. This is according to, you know, a crazy lunatic Democrat.
I don't know. I mean, that it feels like the Republicans are just being like, we're close.
I mean, maybe they're not close at all.
All right, let's watch this ad.
But again, and I'm not trying to make fun of him being mentally ill. I'm trying to make fun of him releasing a bunch of murderers.
Okay.
John Fetterman ad.
Washington, D.C. attacked towns like this for years. They wrote bad deals that sent away our jobs, approved the drugs that kill our kids. We need help. They just talk. Not John Fetterman.
He's the voice of John Fetterman? Is John Fetterman?
He's running for Senate to do the same thing there. Good American jobs, higher wages for us. That's John.
Who is the guy?
It's just a guy that talks for John.
Okay.
Why is radical John Fetterman dodging debates? Because he can't defend freeing convicted murderers even over other Democrats' objections. And phony Fetterman backed massive middle-class tax hikes, but didn't pay his own taxes 67 times.
Why were the taxes not paid when they should have been paid?
It just fell through the cracks.
Fetterman dodges debates and taxes, but demands that you pay more. I'll cut your taxes, and I won't take a penny of them either. I'm Dr. Oz.
I believe him, and I'm in. I'm Dr. Oz. I'm Dr. Oz. Are you Dr. Oz?
Dr. Oz is a good, he knows how to talk to cameras, and he knows how to sell himself because he's been doing it for years.
Are you in, though, Kim? I'm on planet Dr.
Oz.
I
kind of really want Dr. Oz to be in the Senate just because I feel like it'll make things interesting. Like, if Fetterman's in and he's just going to do what everyone else is doing, Dr. Oz is going to be all that.
And I feel like when he says he will cut your taxes and he won't take a penny, you've already seen what happened with Trump with reality stars. These people really will. They'll come in and they'll screw over every corporation under the sun, destroy the entire planet to make sure that you don't pay taxes. And you know what? Let's go for it. I'm good. Let's go. Better than 87,000 IRS agents in the first year of his presidency.
Also, I think it's very troubling that, you know,
87,000 IRS agents versus a $1,600 tax break. That's the first year of Trump versus Biden.
All right, let's move on.
Arizona now. Wait, who are you on, though? You Oz? You're Oz?
Yeah, I'm Oz.
Okay. Arizona, we got Mark Kelly, Democrat. He is the sitting senator, and he's sitting high and pretty at 74%.
These are not close races.
Going against Blake Masters, Republican, at 26%.
Okay.
Compared to Congress, the way NASA operates might seem kind of upside down.
So he's a
putting the mission first, working as a team, and getting the job done no matter what. But really, isn't it Washington that has things upside down? I'm doing things differently. I don't take a dime of corporate PAC money. I publish my schedule online so you know exactly what I'm working on. And I put aside the party politics so we can accomplish results together.
All right.
I'm Mark Kelly, and I approve
this as a crazy Democrat, so I kind of like it.
Rising prices mean that we all have to take a second look at our shopping lists.
TikTok?
Set priorities. So let's look at Mark Kelly's. How about hiring 18,000 new Border Patrol agents? Does that sound good? Well, Mark Kelly voted no.
Doesn't sound good.
What did he do instead? He voted for 87,000 new IRS agents. Mark Kelly kept our border wide open, but he's sending tax collectors coming after you. I'm Blake Masters, and I approve this message.
Wait, why was there a child running in the background? That was a weird ad. I'm sorry, I go for the first guy.
I'm going for the first guy because even if he is a corrupt politician, he is already campaigning on the fact that he doesn't want to really be a Democrat anymore. He's like, bipartisan. I'm working in the middle. Please just vote for me. And if you're willing to say that, then you're willing to be independent. You're willing to have an independent mind in this crazy polarized thing.
Yeah.
And I think that that's better if we have somebody there that's already been doing the job.
Yeah.
That's saying, I can think independently than someone new, regardless.
Yeah.
And the someone new is doing a lot of TikTok stuff with the
and
with
adding
the
children
text
and the things and being like,
and
the LaCroix.
He pulls up with the LaCroix.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's a little too much for me.
Guess what this motherfucker did? He 87,000 IRS agents.
Drinking my LaCroix. I'm sorry.
My LaCroix. I am pissed off. This LaCroix costs 80 cents more because of this motherfucker.
Anyway.
It was a little bit much.
A little too much. All right, moving on. We got Wisconsin. We got Ron Johnson, a Republican, at 76%.
He is a sitting senator.
Sitting senator.
He is also an insurrectionist. He is a true, verified one of like the top five insurrectionist senators.
Okay. And his name also rhymes, Ron Johnson, you know. Anyway, Mandela Barnes is running against him. She's a Democrat at 26.
Guy. Black guy.
Sorry.
Black guy, you're racist.
I'm sorry. Mandela sounds like a female name, okay?
Nelson Mandela?
That was his last name.
Oh, so if it's a last name, it's okay for a man, but not if it's first name?
Mandela, A.
Black
look,
man.
I'm going along with, like, you know,
black
the
man.
Feminine A after, you
nope.
know. In
24%. Black man. Ron Johnson first.
These pals heading to China, those Mexico. Some companies export jobs. We export our products. Been doing it for decades, helping to create more Wisconsin jobs. And I've stayed put right here in Oshkosh for 37 years. Career politicians manufacture hogwash. I manufacture plastic. And I respect you enough to tell you the truth. If you think it's time for Washington to start facing reality, I sure could use your support. I'm Ron Johnson, and I approve this message.
The guitar. Also, why is his mouth a little? His mouth is a little orange. Weird. Oh, what's going on with his mouth? His mouth is a little strange.
He's old. Let him be. Old people have like weird mouths.
He's got like a weird like leukemia.
If you stare at someone's mouth, it's weird.
Thanks. I'm Mandela Barnes, that was nice. And I approve this message.
Okay, this guy. Ooh, graphic content.
A new revelation about the Capitol insurrection has critics calling on a Wisconsin senator to resign.
Shocking evidence that implicated Republican Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin in Donald Trump's coup plot.
Johnson wanted to hand deliver a fake slate of electors for Wisconsin.
My involvement lasted
seconds.
It's
so that they don't get hit up by, like, when they're stealing stuff, they don't get content matching.
They don't get the content ID?
Like we do.
That's why they're doing that?
They're like, we'll just put some strikes in.
Content ID matching?
Okay.
Damn, we need to start doing that, right?
Yeah.
Jeez,
no,
man.
No, that's not as good. That looks bad. It looks like it's being filmed through, like, a TV. Okay, so I go with the first guy because, number one, his, like, ad was great because I really liked the music. And he said Oshkosh. And it made me think of Oshkosh Gosh. And I just felt really great. And he was talking about how he's, like, a manufacturer. And I thought that was pretty cool. And then the other one is just, like, here's some fake news. Like, I mean, seriously,
yeah, here's some fake news.
If you believe in the, like, it's not getting, it's only getting the Democratic side of being like, see, guys, MSNBC says he's bad, you know? Yeah, it's like, who are you getting? You're getting a very small percentage of people that actually.
Well, no, CNN's on our side too, so we're getting a double for action. No, you're not. No, you're not. There's more people watching Fox.
And, they had Fox local affiliate. They didn't have, like, it was like Fox 23 or something. But yeah, I'm going for Ron Johnson because his ad was really fun, and I liked the music, and I don't know, I thought it was good. So if that makes me an insurrectionist, then I guess I am.
Yeah, I'm gonna declare my insurrectionist behavior as well, and we'll take a little pause, and then we're gonna go into hyper mode.
We're gonna go thorough now.
So now we're at North Carolina. We got Ted Budd, who is a senator, I guess, and he is at 77%. He's a Republican. He is sitting senator up against Cherry Beasley, a Democrat, at 23%.
Yeah. Joe Biden spent recklessly. Now he wants 87,000 more IRS agents to cover his tab. Cherry Beasley supports both ideas. 87,000 to harass small businesses and working people like her and them, no matter the pain it causes. I'm Ted Budd, and I'm running for Senate because Joe Biden and Cherry Beasley want more from you. But I want more for you. And that's the difference. I'm Ted Budd, and I approve this message.
We all know Washington doesn't make a lot of sense. So why send the same politicians and expect it to change? I'm Cherry Beasley, and it's time for something different, for someone who calls it like they see it. That's what I did as a judge when I held dangerous offenders accountable. And in the Senate, I'll hold Washington accountable too, because the special interests have too much power, and neither political party is getting it right. Our next senator should be focused on North Carolina. That's why I approve this message.
Oh, okay. She does not have a lot of money behind her because that was a really cheap ad.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first dude's going to win.
Well, going to win or who do you vote for?
I guess I'll vote for him.
I'm still going to vote for him because I think that at the end of the day, I don't know enough about her. And I think that she's just not.
She just kind of seems just like
mediocre.
Okay, yeah.
And I don't trust Democrats to not be part of the machine if they're being mediocre. If you're being mediocre, I'm thinking you're voting for Joe Biden. You know what I mean? You're just you're in the line.
But I do want to know if what's his face, the dud guy, if he paid for people to eat food in there, or if like he just like walked in a place and was like, I'm just gonna film here. Were they getting, like, a free meal? All right, anyway. All right, moving on.
He owns that place, probably? Something like that?
I don't know.
I mean, we're moving on, but now we're slowing up again. I mean, this is brutal because it's, like, Apple TV, and we're trying to AirPlay it, and it's, like, 5 feet away, and it cannot handle playing things that are 5 feet away.
You're going to have to cut a lot of
this. All right, Ohio. We have J.D. Vance, Republican. He's at 76%. He's also the author of Hillbilly Elegy. And he is looking to beat sitting Senator Tim Ryan, a Democrat,
who's at 24. So right now it's looking like he will. And he's been like, I mean, he's a name. Like, you hear J.D. Vance, you like hear his name. You like know who this dude is.
Yeah, but also if you do two initials and then your last name, you sound a lot more like, you know, J.D. Salinger. I'm J.D. Vance.
Well, I don't know. Maybe
his name's probably like Jim Dick Vance. And it's like, well,
Jim DeLaVance.
And if you're like Jim Vance, that's not a good name. J.D. Vance, all of a sudden you sound like a fucking
profesh. Well, he came from Hillbilly Elegy, so he had some hick name. And then he's I'm just going to change it.
A tale of two Tims. TV Tim Ryan pretends he's with you. I don't answer to any political party. But D.C. Tim Ryan votes with Biden Pelosi 100%.
Uh-huh. You've said that you don't like Nancy Pelosi. You love Nancy Pelosi.
I do love her. D.C. Tim's been in Washington 20 years, supporting amnesty and opposing the border wall that would slow down illegals and drugs flooding Ohio. I'm J.D. Vance, and I approve this message because TV Tim is fake. But D.C. Tim is bad for Ohio.
Which J.D. Vance will show up today? Silicon Valley J.D. or politician J.D.? Let's check the stats.
Silicon Valley J.D. is very comfortable in the West Coast offense and told reporters he feels out of place in Ohio.
Drafted out of Yale Law School, says he loves those day trips to wine country.
And called Trump Hitler.
Sounds pretty West Coast to me, Steve.
Let's check the stats on politician J.D.
Now he suddenly loves Trump.
He's so much cheaper.
Drew Beard.
That's not cool in this crowd.
They're really trying to get to the football crowd.
Yeah. It's like they're saying
hold on.
Right. Yeah. They're trying to say that he's pandering, but then what are you doing by making it a football thing? What are you doing by making it a football thing and making it this cheap football knockoff?
See, that's the thing. I think we're losing it when we're rewinding it.
Okay. But I have to pause it on the next one so I can see the lineup.
So they're both saying that they're both saying that each is two-sided. So basically, you're, like, dealing with, like, two different sides. So
yeah.
I guess just, like, pick whoever you
pick the better ad, and the better ad is definitely the first guy, because the second one is, like, this cheap-ass knockoff saying that J.D. Vance is selling out and that he's not a real Republican is their whole sellout. J.D. Vance's sellout of Tim Ryan is he's saying he doesn't vote for these things, but he really does, and he's fucking you over. Okay, well, one is saying a person is fucking person over. Another is saying he doesn't really like Trump. He's just lying. What does that matter?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I would vote for J.D. Vance.
Yeah. Me too. All right. New Hampshire. We got Maggie Hassan, Democrat, at 82%. These are not close.
She's sitting.
Versus Donald C. Bolduc, Republican, 24%.
Looking out for your money and demanding fiscal responsibility. Maggie Hassan has just been named a fiscal hero in the U.S. Senate. No wonder Hassan is known for tight budgets and accountability. As governor, Hassan balanced state budgets while cutting taxes to create new jobs. Now ranked the most bipartisan senator, Hassan works with Republicans to cut wasteful spending and was one of only two Democrats who refused to propose earmarks.
Okay. I'm Maggie Hassan, and I approve this message because fiscal responsibility is the New Hampshire way.
Oh.
General Don Bolduc.
I didn't spend my life defending this country to let a bunch of liberal socialist pansies squander it away. I'm Don Bolduc. I approve this message, and I'm asking for your vote.
Badass American patriot hero.
Okay, all right. I'm voting for the lady.
Maggie. Look, she the legit lady. Looks like a senator. Like she looks like she does her job.
She's doing her job.
She is there.
She's
to work
trying,
and, do her
and everybody
job
else is like fucking not fucking around.
I'm down for her. Right. She looked great. She's like a. I think I'd like her as a person. She seems like some old lady that I'd be like, all right, you know your shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. New Hampshire. It's like the not insane version of Vermont. Anyway.
Right. And we got Colorado. We got Michael Bennett.
Democrat.
At 88%. And then Joe O'D, Republican, at 12%. Again, these are not close races, Alex.
According to them.
We've faced so many tough questions that we've stopped asking hopeful ones, like what our country would look like if every family could make ends meet. But Michael Bennett never stopped asking those questions. And now he's getting answers. Putting $3,000 in the pockets of Colorado families, cutting child poverty.
He's paying you guys. Vote for him.
Sure, for all of us. Imagine what other questions that kind of leadership can answer.
Michael Bennett isn't telling the truth. Ooh. My dad supports same-sex marriage.
Whoa.
He will defend a woman's right to choose.
What?
He will protect access to contraception for all women. Michael Bennett, a sleazy politician, will say anything to keep his job. Google my dad, Joe Day, and find out his positions for yourself.
Ooh. Whoa. Wait a minute. So that's a pro-abortion Republican, and his ad is all about how they're lying that he's against abortion.
Yeah,
he's a pro-abortion Republican. That's a ballsy move to do in Colorado, but I don't think you're gonna win because your ad was too cheap, sir.
The audio was really bad.
The ad was at the same level as Tim Ryan's football thing, I think I would have voted for the Republican in that one. Because Michael Bennett wasn't really saying much. He was being like, I paid you. Shut up. You're like, whoa, okay, bro.
I guess so.
But then the other guy's like, he's lying about me. I'm not against abortion. There's nothing wrong with me. And that would have been cool if it was just like created okay.
I think I will vote for neither. I would vote for neither. I don't think either. Yeah, I don't think either are really that great. I would try to really search.
I would
for, like,
vote
a
for Michael
party.
Bennett if I had to. If I had to go, I guess right now, because the other one made such a cheap ad. Fuck, and we just lost it again.
Just when you're getting to the good one. Okay, here we go. We got Florida.
Florida.
Florida with Marco Rubio, the sitting Republican, at 91%, while Val Demings, the Democrat, is at 9%, which is probably only Orlando and probably a little bit of
She was the chief police of Orlando, so yes, that was
her
true.
Her husband is the Orange County mayor.
And I do not like him. Not like I know I don't like him.
We'll see how. He is apathetic. He does not care about his job. He is just sitting doing...
Before I lose it again.
I'm Marco Rubio, and I approved this message.
Val Demings. She'd be Florida's most liberal senator ever. Demings votes with Pelosi 100%.
What? No!
And gave stimulus supports taxpayer-funded abortion until the moment of birth. Demings even voted to allow transgender youth sports and teach children radical gender identity without parental consent.
She is Val insane. Demings.
She's not just liberal. She's dangerously radical.
Ooh. People ask me, Val, where do you get your tireless faith that things can always get better? I got it here in Jacksonville, Florida. When you grow up in the South, poor, black, and female, you have to have faith in progress and opportunity. My father was a janitor, and my mother was a maid. She said, Val, never grow tired of doing good. Never tired.
Crazy
work hard, not just for yourself, but for others. So I went to Orlando to serve as a police officer. Met my husband and number one partner in crime fighting, Sheriff Jerry Demings. I ended up serving 27 years. I just never got tired of it. Eventually, this working mom worked her way up to chief of police.
Orlando's violent crime this year is down.
Murders, robberies, aggravated assaults, total violent crime, all lower than a year ago.
Under her leadership, there has been the most dramatic decrease in violent crime in the city's history.
I mean, can't argue
they
that.
Said we never lower crime, but I said never tire. And after all that, I still wasn't tired. So I ran for Congress and got back to work.
It's a good campaign. It is. And she's a police officer. If she would have stayed out of the Trump lane, she might have won. If she would have done what some of these other ones are doing in the other states where they stay bipartisan and they say it's about unification, if she would have done that and said, hey, here's my police record, she might have actually won in Florida. But she went against Trump and against the other guy. And all that, and then that's the end of it.
I mean, know? I think she is great for Orlando, and I think she's great for the local community that she's done, but I think representative of actual Florida, which is bigger and more complex than everything, I just think that, I think Marco Rubio's gotten in the bag, so I'd still vote for Marco Rubio. The fact that she's just so anti- what kind of Florida is about right now.
Right.
So it's like you're not representative of Florida. You're representative of Orlando. And
And now here we got
Washington.
Washington, Patty Murray, Democrat, 92% shot of winning. She's the sitting senator. She will not debate Tiffany Smiley. But wait a minute, she did. And we have no ads from either one of these guys. We got a 5-minute clip of the entire debate.
Wow.
And this is going to lead us in to our first debate with Ron DeSantis. And then into our debate that happened tonight between John Fetterman, because I'm over these Senate races, I'm over this video, and I'm over this fucking Apple TV at this point. Let's move forward.
Yeah, last one. It was a little like a political prize fight here on the campus of Gonzaga.
8%.
Wow. This afternoon, about 5 o'clock.
But they did a debate.
You had the challenger, Tiffany Smiley, coming out swinging. And the incumbent, U.S. Senator Patty Murray, she didn't back down. She responded with some political jabs of her own.
We just heard a whole slew of things that I'd love to take time to rebut.
Throughout the hour-long debate, each candidate got in their
digs. I love when they make
them sick. You know, Senator Murray, you're not the mom in tennis shoes anymore. It's been 30 years. You've become a career politician.
I feel like I'm listening to Mitch McConnell on the Senate floor, so let me take a breath.
I took on Washington, D.C., Patty, and I won. You've never taken on Washington, D.C. You are Washington, D.C.
How much can I correct in 30 seconds? So, first of all,
the home.
Oh, my God, I kind of love this lady.
And a dozen other topics were all covered at the Spokane Showdown, along with issues that could determine
the
midterms.
She's roasted her the whole time.
Would Tiffany Smiley, a pro-life candidate, vote to ban abortions nationwide?
I've been clear from the very beginning. I oppose a federal abortion ban. That's long before the unprecedented leak from the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court's decision gave the power to the people, and that's where I believe it belongs. I respect the will of the voters here in Washington State.
I hear my opponent over there saying, I'm 100% pro-life, don't worry. I got to tell you, I was in the Senate. I saw Supreme Court nominees come in front of us and say to us, I'm pro-life, don't worry, and look what happened.
The January 6th riots came up too. Senator Murray said Smiley's questioning of the 2020 election sows mistrust for our democracy.
My husband lost his eyesight fighting for our country. He's here in this debate listening to us. He lost his eyesight fighting for democracy, and our family lives with that sacrifice every single day. It's certainly why I'm in this fight as well.
Fuck yeah.
And so I want to ask, you know, do you believe that me and my family are a threat to democracy, Senator Murray? Because tell
fucking
everyone here
right.
today.
No one questions her belief in our democracy or her husband's fight for our country, ever.
Yeah, back
but
away.
But do not conflate that with misconstruing about the intent of insurrectionists who were using their brute force to overtake the peaceful transfer
but
of power.
But you still have
Smiley
to be on the side of January 6th.
Rising gas prices and crime. Saying it's time for a change. Murray says there's more work to be done.
I feel good. It was an opportunity to share the contrast and the difference between the two candidates. I wish it was before ballots dropped. But, you know, I think my plan is clear. I have an agenda for recovery and reform. We need to turn crisis into hope for all of Washington.
We asked Senator Murray to speak with us after the debate as well, but she declined our request. We did get a statement emailed to us from the campaign saying that the senator won the debate and that Senator Murray made it clear to voters that she is the strongest and most effective voice out there.
Okay, so my thought is this, like, Murray, she was smart because she's polling at 92% versus 8%. So she's got it in the bag. So why would she do a debate? Number one, it shows, hey, I'm a good sportsman. And then you're also going up a really weak candidate. You're Michael Jordan, and you're going up against, like some high school, like, kid.
But something. I think they might have lost her some points, because that's what I saw. Well, what's interesting that you saw it that way, because I saw it the opposite. I saw that because she came in with a David versus Goliath mentality.
Yeah.
That she perceived herself the same way kind of Hillary did, where she was so arrogant and self-centered, thinking that everyone was along for the ride with the joke, when really the joke was on her, this is my argument. The lady said, you say you're the woman in tennis shoes. You haven't been in tennis shoes in 30 years. You're a career politician. You're what's wrong with Washington. That phrase, okay? Up against, I feel like I'm talking to Mitch McConnell right now. I feel like I'm on the Senate floor. Which one won that conversation? You know what I mean? Like, which one is confident in what they're saying?
I see Murray as being confident. She was very grounded. She was very level. She, Look,
wow,
you know,
she's
been a senator for a long time. She's the epitome. If you put look up senator in the dictionary, like she comes up. She looks like
Hillary Clinton. I saw somebody that was worried.
No, the other one is just too green. I forget her name, but like she's just too green. I
definitely agree with that.
She was very
definitely
green,
agree with that.
And she was very
how to make herself.
She's passionate, and I think, you know, if she keeps at it, she will have more opportunity, and I think this was great cuz it pushed her forward like for other things, but I think she, you know, I think she was a very much weaker candidate versus someone very experienced and very grounded and able to kind of say things, you know, in a way that was with authority and control. And she's not the crazy, crazy politician that's making stuff happen. I think she just goes in there and tries to do her job, just like the lady from New Hampshire.
I mean, I don't know. I've just seen Patty Murray twice now, and it's so interesting because you just got to see one of the two times of Patty Murray that I saw, and the other time was on Meet the Press when they both were on to do.
Yeah,
questions.
But I mean, the alternative isn't that
and
strong.
And I just
no matter what she is, like.
Oh,
the other
you're
person,
saying versus the other?
Versus
we're
the
looking
other
at it as the vote.
Yeah, because that's what we're supposed to be doing, Alex. Versus the other person.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm a little drunk.
Yeah.
But that's
Alex,
the.
Yeah.
But that's the thing.
Alex forgot the whole purpose of voting.
I think if you're going to break it down at the end of the day, if I'm in the ballot booth, I'm voting for Patty. So I recant my further debate arguments. I think Patty didn't win herself any points in that debate. I would argue that with you.
She could have lost 20 and been fine, though. She's a 92.
and by acting that way, that's how she lost definitely at least 20.
Doesn't matter.
And made it a closer race than it needs to ever be.
Nah. All right.
But at the end of the day, a common sense person is going to vote for Patty.
Yeah. All right.
It's interesting that when I go to YouTube to be able to pull in this Ron DeSantis because our Apple AirPlay isn't working too well, that one of the searches on YouTube that is in our trending nationwide right now is the name John Fetterman.
I mean, I was looking at
this is post-debate, so like...
I was looking at the Marvel Studios Ant-Man trailer, which I still have not seen.
I have not seen that either.
Oh,
you wanna go for that first?
No, we're watching this. It's 11:12.
We gotta go
at
for
night.
The Ant-Man trailer first.
We're filming this super late.
You're right. Ant-Man trailer first.
What is this?
Ant-Man trailer.
I used to ask myself a lot of questions. Scott, you're at X-Con. How are you an Avenger? That doesn't make sense. But everywhere I go, people tell me the same thing.
Thank you.
People still need help, Dad. That's why we made this. It's like a satellite for deep space, but Quanta.
What?
Wait a minute. You're sending a signal down to the quantum realm. Turn it off.
Oh,
now.
This is that shit that's gonna change Marvel. This is that shit that's gonna change Marvel! That werewolf thing was dope. Oh, they're gonna bring the whole family in. Oh, I'm fucking in. I'm fucking in.
Well,
Ant-Man is
gonna
fucking
enough.
Bring... Oh, look at that shot!
Wow.
Where?
I fucking love her, too. She's great.
Who is that?
I don't know. There's a bunch of those teenage big-eyed actors right now. They're like big-eyed actors. She's got big eyes.
Ooh.
She was in that, that John Cena movie.
What are you so afraid of?
The one about the hooking up when you're in high school.
There's
I'm trying to watch this, dude.
You.
This place. It isn't what you think.
That'd be wearing. Bill Murray.
I can get you home. And give you more time. If you help me. So. What's it gonna be? Ant-Man.
What? Is that like the new Wakanda guy or something?
No, there's a dude from Loki.
Oh, this is okay.
The dude that gets murdered at the end of Loki. Sorry, spoilers.
Yeah, sorry. So this is before
that. So you can put that ahead in the quantum universe or not. I mean, this could be a parallel universe. Like, you know, there's many different things, but.
Oh, that's cute. And then that's a really good campaign. And then they released the trailer again on YouTube, ant-sized, where it was like released as a little tiny video. Anyway, we're going to move on to Ron DeSantis now. Ron DeSantis.
All right. It's a national desk. You put news desk in
the news desk is the actual
name. I still got to that. Okay, guys, so we are going to watch the debate between Ron DeSantis and Charlie Crist in Florida.
What? Yeah. What?
What?
Are you ready?
What?
Are you ready, Kim?
I'm so ready.
I don't know if we're going to get to Fetterman tonight, but we're going to at least get through this one. This is going to be a great one.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
I'm so ready.
I need another drink. Oh, anticipation. So, as I was saying, I heard that there is an open crowd at this debate.
What?
And that there is some rowdy DeSantis fans.
Ooh.
So we shall see. Here we go.
All right, guys.
So your local Orlando voters. Wait, this is the actual contest we can vote for.
Hold on. We got to tell you, we're not going to do the Fetterman-Oz debate.
I thought we were going to do it, but we're going to do it later. We're going to record it later. We're not going to do it at all?
Not.
That's not fun. Can we do half and half?
No, we're watching the entire Ron DeSantis debate.
But I want to see if that guy is, like, typing on it. Like, what is it? Like, what if he's, like, doing some, like, what if his name is trending right now on YouTube because he was doing some, like, Stephen Hawking shit?
Okay, fine. We're going to watch them all. Jeez.
You know it. We'll see. Let's see. Let's just see where we go.
We're definitely going to cover all Ron DeSantis. All
right.
Here we go. Where was this filmed?
This is Sunrise? St. Pierce, Florida.
All right.
2022 gubernatorial debate. Your voice, your future. We've called it that because all the questions I will be asking tonight came from you, Florida voters. Some will be asked just as you wrote them. Others have been written to reflect concerns shared by many submitted questions.
As is, some of y'all can't spell. That matter
most to you. Yeah, we can't just cover this one. The other one is Andrew Cuomo. Education, or is Chris Cuomo.
Public safety and health and the environment. Once I have asked a question, the candidates will each have 1 minute to respond. And 30 seconds for a rebuttal.
Yeah. Florida Debate 2022.com.
Question first, and at the end of the hour, each candidate will have 60 seconds for a closing statement. You may notice at home and here in the theater a small fan next to one of the podiums. That is there by special request for Congressman Crist.
Does he fart?
We do ask that
and
everyone
he needs some
here
yeah.
in the theater
what
remain
is he
quiet during the debate.
Why does he have a fan?
He needs a fan by his balls? And then Ron DeSantis is like, you have to expose that. I'm not going on the stage unless you tell us that there's a fan. You're trying to stage. Because you know that was Ron DeSantis saying. Ron DeSantis is like, you need to tell them there's a fan there? You need to tell them? Look at the fucking, I told you, it's rowdy crowd. Rowdy crowd. It's going to be crazy.
You won the coin toss, so you will be answering first, please.
There's a coin toss?
It's been said that people vote with their feet, and their feet are bringing people to the Sunshine State by the thousands. Mm-hmm. That has put unprecedented pressure on housing.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
driving rents through the roof
oh, yeah.
and forcing individuals and families out of their homes.
Fucking rent, motherfucker.
New housing takes years to approve and to build, and workforce housing is needed right now. What solutions do you propose as governor to manage future growth and ensure affordable housing is available to everyone? Congressman, you have 1 minute to respond.
Thank you, Liz, and thank you for being here tonight. I want to thank everybody for watching this evening. I wanted to start out by saying that you're going to see a stark contrast in this debate and this election. It's a stark contrast between somebody who believes in a woman's right to choose. I think that's fundamentally important.
No, he's like, He's like, fuck your fucking rent.
Did you hear that? No, there are some booze.
A bill that would restrict abortion, that, right? Even in cases of rape or incest.
Bro,
so get to your
we're
question.
Asking about
housing
rent.
Is an incredible issue as well. We have a housing crisis.
They're laughing at him.
Okay.
Good luck buying a home. Good luck renting an apartment. And it's because Governor DeSantis has taken his eye off the ball. He's focused on running for president in 2024, and as a result, we have
that's
lost.
Right. I love this fucking debate already. It's wild.
The legislature have cut. I would
that's
restore.
That's right.
I would make sure that we're doing everything we can to be sure that housing is affordable again.
Bro, this
and along with
even
that goes so many other things.
Tonight.
The price of gas.
It's going to be
the price
rape.
Of utilities. These things are through the roof. We have inflation in Florida that's unique to any other state. And the problem is our inflation's too high under his leadership.
Congressman, that's time. Tom. Governor, you have 1 minute.
Thank you.
Thank
you, everybody, for tuning in.
All right, let's see what he did.
You know, Charlie Crist has voted with Joe Biden 100% of the time to give us these inflationary policies to drive up the cost of everything that we're doing. And the fact of the matter is, over the last 2 years, we've now have record inflation all across this country at 40-year highs. He supports Biden's energy policies, which have made gas and utilities more expensive. That is wrong. And I would also say this. You mentioned, Liz, that people are flocking to Florida. That would not have happened if Charlie Crist had his way. He wrote me a letter in July of 2020 saying you need to shut down the state of Florida. He said you need to force people to shelter in their own homes. That would have destroyed the state of Florida. That would have caused our tourism
they're like fucking drunk
to go
up in
the
there.
Toilet.
They're
it
fucking
would have locked out
partying.
Millions of kids from school.
Yeah, I mean,
rejected Charlie Crist's lockdown letter. I kept this.
We wouldn't be here. Yeah, we definitely would not be here.
And we now have the biggest budget surplus in the history of Florida. We have a 2.5% unemployment,
Governor,
second lowest
time.
On record, and we just did the biggest tax cut in Florida
Thank
history.
Thank you, Governor.
Fucking
time.
Yeah!
Congressman, you have 30 seconds for rebuttal.
Thank you very much. Well, Ron, that's rich. You're the only governor in the history of Florida that's ever shut down our schools. You're the only governor in the history of Florida that shut down our businesses. I never did that as governor.
Okay.
You're
well,
the
because
one
there wasn't a pandemic.
We need to have somebody who is at
the helm. I mean, it's a good argument. Keep going.
No, it's bold.
To do what's right. To utilize common sense. You don't just shut down at the outset, and then when it's, you know, politically convenient for you, you want to open back up to score political points.
They were fucking with him.
So he opposed having kids in school. His supporters sued me to keep the kids out of school in 2020. And how critical was that decision? We just got the nation's report card, the results from all 50 states. Florida, number 3 in fourth grade reading and number 4 in the country in fourth grade math.
Ooh,
and if you adjust that to demographics, we are number 1 in the country in both. That would not have happened if we let Charlie Crist and his friends lock our kids out of school like they did in California and like they did in New York. We did
Thank
it right
you,
in Florida.
Well, right. Like, was it that way
question,
under him?
Also,
that's the better response. It was
As
not
governor,
that way under you.
Both of you called special sessions of the legislature to address Florida's home insurance crisis. Governor DeSantis just announced another will be called by the end of the year.
Oh.
Dave in Ruskin, Florida wants to know, what do you think are the best next steps to address this crisis, which seems to overwhelm every solution we throw at it? Governor, you have a minute.
Well, first, I think we have the worst inflation of 40 years. It's much more expensive to replace a roof today than just 3 years ago, thanks to the Biden-Crist policies. That, unfortunately, is contributing to the increase. We also have the number one, we're number one in the nation in litigation with respect to homeowners insurance. We have 8% of the policies, but 78% of the litigation costs. Some policyholder will get a $20,000 settlement, and the lawyer will get $400,000. So we called the special session.
His name is Dan Newland.
Dan Newland. That's serving us well. Now
run the ad.
And we created a program where Floridians can get grants to make improvements to their homes and then lower rates. I think what we need to do, we need to build off what we did with the reinsurance because that's a big issue, and we have to address the rising cost of litigation. It's not about lining the pockets of billboard lawyers. It's about
like
having
Newland.
A competitive market where people have a shot to make ends meet.
Fucking Dan. He's like, fuck Trump into his billboards in Orlando. That was supporting Ukraine and shit.
The most expensive state in the country to live in. More than California. More than New York. And why is that the case?
You know, people laugh.
Because you've taken your eye off the ball, as I said before. Look at utility
rates. There are New York and LA people that are in the crowd. That's what's going on.
Utility rate increase has been granted for
I just came here, bitch.
Power, TECO, you name them. They've all gone up and up and up. When I was governor, they went down. Property insurance. Property insurance under you has in the state
anybody
of Florida doubled,
down.
Ron. That's not good for
down
the
anything
state.
Else.
And it's been
down.
Exacerbated by this horrible hurricane we just came through. Gas prices are up as well. Under your lack of leadership, you slipped in something to drop the price of gas. But only in October, right before the run-up to the election.
No.
That's so political. It's disgusting. We need to have a governor who will do what's right.
We
for
know
the
this guy's
going to
lose, so like, give
time,
him some points.
Long,
he's reaching
just
here.
When it's right before a re-election.
Governor.
This is so
unfair. Governor,
you
follow up. Governor.
Well, why are fuel and natural gas prices up? Because of the Biden-Crist energy policies. They're waging war on American energy. They are not producing what we need to do.
Like
they're
that.
Begging Maduro and OPEC for more oil. That's why your costs are going up there. But Charlie Crist's plan for homeowners insurance
that was
is
weird.
To dump, chase the private insurers out,
the audience
dump
kind of
millions
independent
of Floridians
there.
On citizens' property. It's you're undercapitalized. Here's why that matters for you.
There.
Citizens has mandatory assessment authority. So there could be a storm that hits Tampa Bay. Maybe you're renting a place in Miami with a car. They can assess your homeowners insurance,
Governor,
your auto's insurance, and your renter's
well,
insurance.
I mean, if that's time,
his plan
would end up
capsizing the state
that's
of Florida
that is
if
time.
He had a real storm.
Congressman, you have 30 seconds.
Thank you, Liz. I appreciate your courtesy. You know, I think it's incredible that we hear this out of Ron DeSantis. He's talking about our economy. He's talking about property insurance. And everybody watching tonight knows that your property insurance is up under him. That's the problem. He could have addressed it in the regular session. He didn't.
Look at his throat goal.
In his first special session. He didn't.
He don't like when the crowd goes against him.
I don't think that
oh boy,
charm
a little boy gets a little. Ooh, I don't know if he's ready for president.
You deserve a governor who has your back. I
look at that. You see that fucking fear?
Okay.
The second the crowd goes against him.
Let's see.
You gotta fucking turn it around,
stop
buddy.
Right now, and ask that our audience please stop. We're not going to get through all the questions, and we have a lot of ground to cover.
Oh.
So please, that needs to be the end of the applause.
Oh, come on, the audience
we'll
the best part, man.
Wait, they were unbiased. That was what was interesting. They had changed to curse.
Story of destruction.
Whoa, can I pause that? Hold on. I got to pause that for a second. Wait, so the audience the entire time was like a frat house, drunken hype beast for Ron DeSantis. Charlie Kirst getting beat down for 8 straight minutes in this thing over this stupid frat crowd, college, whatever. Mm-hmm. Turns it around and says, whoa, your house is up during his administration. Your rent is up during
insurance. It's the insurance.
Insurance. All of that is up during him. Your gas, all of it, up during him. Mm-hmm. So you can hear screaming, yelling about this guy, but he's the problem. And as soon as he says that, the crowd yells.
Yeah.
Ron DeSantis clears his throat.
Mm-hmm.
He gets all scared. You think he might not be a president ever again because he can't handle whenever the crowd isn't in his favor, apparently. And then he even has the person that's supposed to be in the middle of this debate.
The crowd settled down now.
Settle the crowd down because Charlie Kirst got appointed. That's fucking weird.
That's weird.
I'm sorry.
But
I'm
Alex,
so Ron DeSantis.
I am
Ron DeSantis because I am here because of Ron DeSantis. But at the same time, I have to point out that the fact is Charlie Kirst did change the crowd. The crowd was leaning independent, and that lady had no bounds once the crowd changed its authority to then start regulating the crowd. That's suspicious. Against Ron DeSantis.
Okay, but Alex,
because that's weird that you got to start silencing the crowd.
And I get that.
Once Kirst gets appointed.
I get it. This is Florida. Let's see if the crowd pays attention.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that part.
Again and again. Do you believe it's time for like new regulations, like, restrictions,
let's see if
or
10 minutes if they can keep
where and how we build along the coast. Being on the water is a defining part of the Florida lifestyle. But these homes and businesses are regularly subject to devastating losses, which then cost all of us
Florida
billions.
Is decorum, though. They might all just not say anything the rest of the time.
Yeah, they
you know, Hurricane Ian was a disaster storm, a nightmare, frankly. We had, you know, the structure go up for all of the buildings in Florida right after Hurricane Andrew years ago. And thank God that happened. And in this part of the state where the storm hit, right after Hurricane Charlie, even more so. So I think we've addressed that. What needs to be addressed is how we treat a storm before it makes landfall. And unfortunately, Governor DeSantis failed on this. What happened is this storm was approaching Florida, one of the biggest storms in the history of our state, the most deadly storm in the history, modern history of Florida. And what was Governor DeSantis doing? The Friday night before it made landfall, he went to a football game. He was AWOL for almost 24 hours, didn't encourage Lee County to evacuate. And as a result, 100 people lose their lives. That's not a good record. And that's not good leadership.
Versus New Orleans versus others, he won that battle.
We have to be prepared when the storms are coming in. He had access to all the modern technology you could have, all the modern radar available, and he still failed to have them evacuated.
Thank you, Congressman.
That's unbelievable.
You have 1 minute.
Well, look, I'm proud that we had 42,000 linemen stage ready to go, unprecedented array of first responders. We were able to get in record time, effectuate thousands of rescues, get the power back on for millions of people in record time. And when the bridges got wiped out in Pine Island and in Sanibel, people thought those islands were going to be severed from the mainland for 6 months to a year. We did the Pine Island restoration in 3 days. And we did the Sanibel Causeway restoration in 2 weeks. Now those islands have the ability to recover. And Charlie Crist is sitting there. You know what he was doing during this? He was in hiding out in Puerto Rico. He wasn't helping his community here. And then when he got back, what did he do?
They're back.
When he got back, his campaign was soliciting campaign contributions from storm victims. That is unacceptable. And that's not what a leader would do in a time of despair.
They're right back in.
Governor, that's not true, and you know it. Let's face what the facts are in this situation.
They're right back in.
They were good for 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Ron ignored.
I love this crowd, though.
He doesn't
think
that they know what's right.
Because they're willing
to
give it all.
And he thinks he knows better than everybody. Look at any issue that we're facing in the state of Florida. He thinks he's the only one that has the right answer, whether it's usurping your local school board, whether it's doing anything else in education, banning books, for example. I mean, it's unbelievable what has happened. And so you have to apply science to the people and protect
them. He's like, what are you talking about?
My opponent's attempt to politicize this, because these local communities did mobilize. And if you looked at that track, everyone was focusing on Tampa Bay the Monday night before the storm. We woke up Tuesday morning. The models had shifted into Sarasota. All the folks in Southwest Florida were activated. Lee County did issue evacuations. You had a number of residents that had been through a lot of hurricanes. And it looked like it may be going a little north. So people were following that very intently. Those folks did a good job. You know, the governor, our message was listen to your locals. It's ultimately a local decision. They do the shelters. But I stand every one of our local counties. They stood up, they worked hard, and they made the best decisions they could with the information that they had.
Woo!
Our final question.
So here's the thing with this. I just got to pause this one more time now with the whole crowd thing.
Yeah.
If crowds are going to respond the way the crowds are responding in Florida to this governor's debate, crowds are a necessity that needs to happen in all debates.
Well,
forward.
Because they're the live studio audience that's not manipulated.
They're hyping the moments that you feel authentically. Mm-hmm. They are the black church. Like, have you ever been to a black church? I know you screamed as soon as I said this, but I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. They're being a black church. Have you ever been to a black church?
I mean, I know what stereotypically they are.
So here's the thing with black churches. So, like, you go to church and you're like, you got regular church. Like, if you're a Christian or a Catholic, you got regular church that's, like, teaching you the fundamentals of, like, how to be a person, right?
Yeah.
And then you got like the rock version or the rap version or like the urban version of that, which is like, we're not like parents, but also we don't drink. Let's like do guitar or something like in this play pit together. And
guitar?
So like,
it's, the country that has slaves?
It's no. Guitar.
Okay.
Guitar.
Okay. It's not like you said guitar. Guitar.
I'm a little drunk. So no, but like the thing is like, so you have that. So there's like this hip version, which is like Hillsong. Yeah. And then you have like the Catholic Church and you have like Methodists and Protestants and all of that stuff, which is like fundamentalism and all that. But when you go to a black church, you go to like a fundamentally black church.
And you have been to black churches.
Yes. Black churches, like Christian black churches, Baptist churches especially. Fuck! Those things are amazing. Talk about somebody that you gotta truly believe is feeling God right now because they're like having a seizure on the floor. It's all choreographed. The whole thing like is feels completely like an authentic experience to you. It's the response is authenticity. And that's what happens a lot with black culture when you see like that happen in like then rap and then also in like a lot of boxing or fights because they're black oriented.
Okay, Alex,
so you have no listen, like seriously. You have that culture invade that. And so, and I think it really comes from gospel, Christian, black churches that especially oriented that, which is like, if you feel like you've actually gotten something done or fixed in you today on this Sunday, you're going to woo, let it out because you got to just like let that shit out. And it's not tongues. It's not like fucking God speaking through me. It's just the emotion. And that's what's happening with these crowds. And that's what happens at like rap concerts. That's what happens at fights, at football games, at basketball games. If somebody dunks the ball in somebody's face, no matter who you are,
Alex,
you're going to go, fuck
yeah. I think drawing the conclusion that the reason why this Florida debate is rowdy is because of black churches. That's a really big stretch. I think it's just human nature and people like.
No, I'm saying the orientation of the crowd to devote itself to being bipartisan in nature, but feeling the flow of the energy in the moment is devoted to Christian, black, gospel, fucking
Alex, I think
Baptist
wrong.
Churches
I think
and
I
the
think
way
wrong.
In which
I
they
think
expose themselves.
It's just people that pregame before this and want to have fun and are having a blast and that are just being here like a sporting event.
On the economy, Gainesville asks, what are your plans to reduce the effects of inflation on Floridians if the federal government cannot come up with a viable solution?
All right.
Well, we know that these are the effects of the Biden-Crist policies, the worst inflation in 40 years, and Charlie Crist votes with Biden 100% of the time, and he says that Biden is the best president he's ever seen. So he's locked together with these policies that have hurt so many people throughout our state and our country. Here's what we're going to do. One, we have the fifth lowest gas prices in the country right now because
we did do a gas tax holiday.
We're proud of that.
I'm a fucking
what
Uber
we're
driver.
Do for
we
Floridians
do.
Who commute, we're going to reduce tolls by 50% statewide for all commuters in the state of Florida.
We
are going to make all baby items, diapers, cribs, wipes, you name it, tax-free permanently in the state of Florida
permanently.
So you can raise kids and get
tax-free
by.
Baby wipes?
Oh!
You know, we have a 5 and a 4 and a 2-year-old. Our two oldest are out of diapers. My wife asked me, why didn't you propose that your first year in office? Well, you live and you learn. And we're also going to say that pet food is going to be tax-free in the state of Florida. So this is going to be the largest tax relief plan in the history of the state of Florida. You're able to do that when you have a strong economy.
Tax-free, Elaine, you hear that? You hear that, baby?
All right, look.
You hear that, baby? See, that's great. No.
When
but
you...
here's, I do have to say this, though. You know, I appreciate that because they're always like, families. And then they're like, but all you people that have pets that don't have families, we're going to help you out, too. And I appreciate that. Usually you get left out.
When you start talking about pets, though, I think it's time. I think it's time to move on.
We're watching this whole thing, Alex.
You want to watch that whole thing?
We are watching the whole thing. That is the whole point. We are watching this whole thing.
And you don't want to give any airtime to Chris Cuomo doing a live debate after being canceled by CNN with Dr. Oz and John Fetterman, who is currently trending on YouTube.
Alex, we are watching the whole debate. And then we can watch the whole other debate. We're doing this.
You really think you're just you're going to go for it?
We're going for it.
And you're not drunk and you're not high and you're going to go for this?
Yes, we're going to go for this, but you can't talk as much, Alex.
Okay. No more pauses, I promise. But if you think you can get through this.
You gotta go back to YouTube, dude. You're looking at the wrong place.
Oh, I know. We're going to Prime Video because we're watching Lord of the Rings. Because that's what this night's about now. All right, we're back.
Congressman, you have 1 minute.
That's interesting.
I would agree with your wife. You should have done that the first year you were in office. I mean, aren't you supposed to be helping us all 4 years instead of just the last year?
Ooh.
And Ron, you talk about Joe Biden a lot. I understand.
I love that one.
You think you're going to be running against him. I can see how you might get confused. But you're running for governor. You're running for governor, and I have a question for you. You're running for governor. Why don't you look in the eyes of the people of the state of Florida and say to them, if you're reelected, you will serve a full 4-year term.
Yes or no? Fucking yay!
Yes or no, Ron?
He can't say it.
Will you serve a full 4-year term if you're reelected governor of Florida?
He can't say it.
No, because you won't.
It's not a tough question.
Because he will be
it's
videoed
a fair question.
On that.
He time. Won't tell you.
He won't tell
we
you.
We did not agree on the candidates asking each other questions. Governor is...
Gotta pause on that. Hold on. So this was a big thing that came up in AP News about this debate. Two things happened. Apparently, the moderator told the audience multiple times, calm down, and they wouldn't, and that they're now considering never having an audience again in Florida.
What?
And the second one...
That was the best.
I know, it was the best part. That's why I went into my whole, like, Christian, gospel, Baptist expression. I said black. I'm clearly racist for saying black. It's not black. It's just gospel Baptist. It's Southern Baptist behavior. It's speaking out when you feel emotion. But
that's
anyway.
Just being a person.
Right. But
in a crowd.
It's just a thing that they do. Like the hype of it.
People do this in sporting events.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you do. Yeah, sports too.
It's
sports are very equatable
too.
It's
just people, Alex. It's just people.
Humans.
In a crowd.
Humans
okay.
doing
right.
the ape
you
emotions.
You said you weren't going to
But
pause
anyway,
so much.
I know I won't. I won't pause it again. But last thing I will say about this is the second thing they said was that this moderator was amazing and fair because she told the audience multiple times to calm down. And she also. Was fair to both candidates and told Ron DeSantis that his time was up and told Charlie Kearse that he wasn't allowed to ask other candidates questions. And I feel like that's fucking bullshit because the question he's fucking asking is a roast-ass motherfucking question and Ron DeSantis, you can't answer that question, then fuck you! Fucking lose the debate. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I know you don't want to be, last thing I'll say. Ron DeSantis knows right now, on that motherfucking face that we're seeing right up there right now. Oh no, if they film me in 2022 saying I will stay 4 more years, there's no way I beat Joe Biden. But he's also already thinking that in his head, which means he's that fucking good. He already knows he's going to beat this motherfucker, become president, and do this whole thing. So, like,
he's
whatever.
Like,
you know what I mean?
He's like,
you're not going to catch me right now doing something that's going to fuck it all
don't
up.
Don't tell them. We both know I'm going to run in 2020, but I got to win this first, this. Okay, dude? Shh.
Can't do it.
All right.
Go. I know that Charlie's interested in talking about 2024 and Joe Biden, but I just want to make things very, very clear. The only worn-out old donkey I'm looking to put out to pasture is Charlie Crist.
Oh!
You want to talk about standing up for taxpayers? When Charlie Crist was governor, he ran saying he would not raise taxes. He became governor, and he signed off on the largest increase in taxes and fees in the history of the state of Florida.
That's time,
we
governor.
Just enacted the largest decrease in taxes in the history of Florida.
Thank you, Governor. Congressman, you have 30 seconds.
Yeah, well, Ron, we know you love to bully people, and the little name-calling you just exchanged, I can take it, but you shouldn't do it when children are standing behind you at a press conference and they're wearing a mask and giving hell.
Why are you cheering that?
Nature, and that's too bad.
That.
So what we need to do on the economy is make sure that we're focused on Florida. You know, he keeps talking about the Biden administration this, the Biden administration that. This is the DeSantis administration. And under the DeSantis administration, the middle class is getting crunched
like,
in
Florida.
You can't
he's
get
trying
apartment.
To keep
you
his face straight, but
you
it
can't
looks
pay your
worried.
Property insurance
that's the
he's
problem.
Taking his eye off
he
the
looks
ball
like Nixon on the stage.
Thank you,
he's very looking worried. I don't like that.
We are now going to move on to another
to
topic that is top of mind for many Florida families, education.
I love her hair, by the way.
The pandemic
so nice.
And remote learning
she
exposed parents to what
do,
was going
right?
on in America's classrooms like okay. never before. Yeah. Disputes over masks and reopening schools had parents mm-hmm. across Florida demanding more say in their children's education. Mm-hmm. Part of your response, Governor, was to sign the Parental Rights in Education Act, which you, Congressman, called a, quote, heinous piece of legislation. Governor DeSantis, the Parental Rights in Education Act and the Stop Woke Act are centerpieces of your agenda for Florida schools. Why?
There's
and Congressman, do you believe
yeah,
it's important to educate students in kindergarten
like
through third grade about sexual nah. orientation and gender identity? Congressman, you have 60 seconds.
What I think is important is to educate children on science, math, and history, and true history and fact. Since we're talking about education in Florida, 9,000 teachers and staff have left Florida because of the way he has treated public schools in our state, and it's wrong. We are the third largest state in America,
I gotta agree.
And his administration is paying our teachers 48 out of 50 states. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
We can, and we should, and we need to do better than that. We need to have a focus on education and not politicize and make political war zones out of our schools. We need to support our schools, support our teachers, have our parents involved. That's absolutely essential. And that's what we need to get back to, is basic. Instead of having all these cultural and political wars that Ron loves to do, as I said, because he wants to run for president and he's out of state raising all this money all the time.
That sounds great.
Governor, you have 60 seconds.
Well, you know, I would say when you oppose the Parents' Rights in Education bill, which prevents six, seven, eight-year-olds from having sexuality, gender ideology injected in their curriculum.
No, veterans teach, you fucking moron.
War. I'm simply defending parents and students because it's inappropriate to have that in elementary school. It's inappropriate to tell a six-year-old that they were born in the wrong body. It's inappropriate to tell an eight-year-old that they may have been born a girl, but maybe they're really a boy. That's wrong. We need to do the basics. We need to teach them to read, write, add, and subtract. And if we do that, we'll continue to lead in fourth grade reading and fourth grade math like we did in today's NAEP results, which is a great testament
to
having open schools and a lot of hardworking folks in our school system. I also signed, I'm the father of a five-year-old daughter and a two-year-old daughter as well as a four-year-old son, but my daughters are very athletic and we signed legislation to protect the right of women athletes, that you should not have someone competing on the men's team for 3 years and then switch to the women's team. Charlie Crist opposed that bill. He said he would have vetoed it. I'm going to protect women's sports in the state of Florida.
Congressman, you have 30 seconds.
Thank you very much. There you go again, Ron. It's all about culture wars. It's all about dividing us. I'm a uniter.
Yeah.
I think we need to, to be giving our state a chance to unite again. You love
Look
dividing
He's
our
scared.
State. You know, whether it's blacks against whites, whether it's gay against straight, whether it's young versus old. You're making it harder for people to vote in our state. You know, we just started early polling today, early voting rather, today.
Harder.
And he made it harder to mail in ballots. I have a 90-year-old father and 88-year-old mother. They love to exercise.
You're lost in Florida on the mail in voting.
For like 3 weeks before the election. Come on.
Governor?
You don't even need to speak anymore, you crock of
shit. I think denying girls and women athletes the right to compete fairly, I think that's divisive. I think it's divisive to rip
fucking
opportunities
yeah, that's
away,
not fucking culture war. That's
in the
real.
State of Florida. And you want to talk about
divisive. The day after Charlie Crist won his primary, he said, anyone that supports the governor, you have hate in your heart and I don't want your vote. Well, think what that means. I'm endorsed by every police group in the state of Florida. I'm endorsed by the firefighters. Ooh. I'm endorsed by the truckers, the nurse anesthetists, Retail Federation, Farm Bureau, the whole cross-section of the state of Florida is backing me. They do not have hate in their hearts because
That's
they reject
time,
Charlie Crist. They want to keep Florida going and they want to keep Florida free.
Might be time, but it's not time for Charlie Crist.
Education.
Ouch. That was a
Critical
bad one.
Race theory has ignited controversy in school districts around the country.
I'm going to walk out for a minute.
It is now against the law to give lessons which might cause a student, quote, psychological distress because of actions in which the person played no part committed in the past by other members of the same race, color, national origin, or sex. What do you believe is the best way to address issues of race in our history and in modern life in the public school setting? Governor?
Well, Florida statutes require teaching all of American history, including slavery, civil rights, segregation. It's important that that's taught. But what I think is not good.
You were mad.
Based on skin color.
It's so weird.
To distort American history by saying that the American Revolution was fought to defend slavery, which is not true. I think we should have a history like Abraham Lincoln.
Not true at all. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Like Frederick Douglass. These are great eternal principles. We've got a great constitution, and people have used those principles to make great progress over the course of our country's history. I'm proud of our history. I don't want to teach kids to hate our country. I don't want to teach kids to hate each other. And the way to stop discrimination on the basis of race is to stop discriminating on the basis of race.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I feel you on that. Fucking Florida being so bipartisan on this debate.
He talks about not teaching about the history of our country that might offend some people in our schools. We ought to teach facts in our schools. We ought to teach the truth in our schools.
We do teach facts in our schools.
Those who may be condemned to repeat it. Usually people use that in reference to the Holocaust. It could just as easily be referenced to slavery in our country. It happened. It's a fact. We shouldn't have a whitewash approach to educating our children. How are they going to do well in life?
Okay,
if they
but what do you
history?
Mean by whitewash? You want to do CRT, bro?
We hate each other in our schools. I don't know where you get that idea. I don't have hate in my heart, and I don't think we need to be doing that in our schools. Why you think that's happening right now is beyond me. We need to get back on track. We need to apply common sense. We need to do what's right. And you're taking away from all these other issues because you don't want to talk about taking away a woman's right to choose. You don't ever want to talk about it. And that's on the ballot.
He's always going for abortion because he's a fucking Democrat. He's a fucking career politician.
No wonder you want to talk about this crazy.
We're
going
to have to leave it right there. Governor, you have 30 seconds.
Yeah, so it actually, if you look around the country, they do have programs, unfortunately. Well, they will take a student, look at their race, say, okay, you're white, you're an oppressor. If you're black, you're oppressed. And think about what that does to a 6 or 7 year old kid. That's wrong. You're seeing that. You have people that are teaching. And actually, his running mate has said this in the past, that teaching the United States was built on stolen land. That is inappropriate for our schools. It's not true. And I'm happy that we're going to be able to have accurate history, and we're going to make sure that we honor those who have sacrificed so that we can be free.
Congressman, you have 30 seconds.
It's weird that, like, every name in all of Florida is, like, a Cherokee name.
I mean, it keeps going back to this stuff. These outrageous, radical
Indians don't exist. We didn't take their land. Andrew Jackson owned this.
Like, what? This is Florida. What? You're the governor of Florida right now. You won't even say if you want to be the governor of Florida after this election. But you are right now. And you need to be focused on what's happening in our schools. Our schools are doing a decent job, and they're not teaching hate. They're teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. They're doing it with good teachers, but you don't respect them, and that's why they're fleeing our schools. We need a governor who cares about education.
We're going to move on to our next question. You cannot have school without teachers.
I think you just got, like, kids on both sides.
And districts up and down the state are struggling to fill open jobs. Even though the National Education Association reports Florida now ranks 15th in starting teacher pay. Governor, you have proposed making it easier for veterans and first responders to join the ranks of
school
teachers.
There you go. Vets. That's his teach.
Your policies, which we have just discussed, are a barrier to new educators. Congressman, you believe the solution is declaring a public emergency and increasing spending for health care and other benefits in a system that already makes up a significant chunk of the state budget.
What's up with her drawer?
Is money the answer?
Why's her drawer open with a bunch of wires
in it?
They should get a bomb in it.
You know, if you invest in what you care about and you prioritize by how you spend your money.
It's a weird drawer.
This governor, as I said before, is spending for our teachers. They're 48 out of 50 states in America. We're the third largest state in America. He's got a budget surplus.
Right.
Why can't you treat teachers better than that? That doesn't make sense to me. You invest in what's important in other areas of our state. You make sure that we have infrastructure. That's why a member of Congress, I voted for the infrastructure that got the Sanibel Bridge built back up as quickly that you took credit.
It really doesn't, because you look at like the high education teachers and they don't.
That matter to the people of our state.
Teacher education.
Like actually regulating our utility rates, and you're not. Like actually bringing down the price of property insurance, and you're not. Like actually making sure that our taxes are lower, not higher. You raised them $1 billion on every consumer in the state. You did that. You raised the highest taxes.
There's no teacher shortages, sir.
Governor, you have 60 seconds.
Well, I think his teacher pay is very important. And when Charlie Crist was governor, he did nothing about it for 4 years. In fact, he cut education $300 million. What have I done? Ooh. We've done the largest increase in teacher compensation in the history of the state of Florida.
He's like, we're trying to fix
Liz, we now rank much higher with
up.
Average minimum salary because we focused on that because we knew that was important to recruit good teachers. So we've raised the average minimum salary by over 20%. We're now number one in the Southeast. And I created with the legislature a categorical budget item where the money has to go to teacher salaries. Because what happens is we send the money to school districts. You know, his running mate is a teachers union boss. She makes almost $200,000 a year. The teachers down in Miami don't make that. So I don't want the money going to teachers unions. I want the money going in the pockets of teachers. So we are going to do $1 billion categorical in next year's budget.
That
was
a good
tremendous
one.
Progress. And we're going to continue
just,
to do it.
The audience doesn't understand, but he just like fucking
30 seconds.
Took him for a ride.
Ron,
he's like,
governor,
you're running mate's job.
More per dollar than you are, and you have a surplus. I governed when we had a great recession.
What?
We did it because we prioritized it. It was the right thing to do. That's how
What's
you
wrong?
Need to lead. You need to lead by uniting.
He's smiling and laughing because you're
talks
lying.
He's dividing us all night long. It's what he does.
Is somebody going to fact check him?
It's what he's about. You deserve a better governor who cares about women and your freedom. Your freedom and your right to choose. And your right to vote.
That's time.
That's
Governor, you have
and so we're going to continue to do more with the teachers. But I think this is also important. We're talking about schools. I oppose allowing school districts to force students to get the COVID shot. Charlie Crist wants to force students to get the COVID shot.
Oh, he just throws another opinion
in. We passed a bill to prevent that. He opposed the bill when we did it. I think this is a parent's decision. I think it's wrong to force this on these kids. And as long as I'm governor, as parents, you're going to have the ability to make that decision. We are not going to subcontract out your parental rights to Charlie and his special needs studies.
We're going to move on now.
Please.
No, you already had your 30 seconds. We're going to move
on.
I've got to be fair. You each got 60. You each got 30.
We're the only state in America.
No, I'm sorry. We're going to move on to public health.
Vaccines
moving
for
on to public health. I'm sorry, Congressman. Public health, which has been at the forefront of public policy debate,
that's
ruthless. Never more so than after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade.
Just when
right
I was
now,
questioning whether we stay on it, but
Florida's
I mean, you're
15-week
right.
Stay abortion
on it. Okay.
Ban passed by the legislature and signed by Governor DeSantis is making its way through the courts. The Florida Supreme Court, which will ultimately decide on this issue, has previously found the state constitution's privacy clause applies to abortion access. Yeah. This question
exactly.
comes from Wayne in Stewart.
So then
in your
matter?
Opinion, after
How
what week
believe?
Of pregnancy, should abortion
we already
be
know
banned?
You're protected under Governor. Your own private or
well, I was thinking back in the aftermath of this to a poor woman over 40 years ago in Jamaica, and she found herself pregnant. Didn't think there'd be much opportunity to have a child, was urged to abort the baby, went to get the abortion, and you know, for whatever reason, and maybe we can't explain, that didn't end up happening, and she ended up having the baby. And I think about that because a few months ago, I appointed her daughter to be the first Jamaican-American justice in the history of the Florida Supreme Court.
I just think we're better when everybody counts.
Yeah.
I understand not everyone's going to be born in perfect circumstances, but I would like to see everybody have a shot. I'm proud of the 15 weeks that we did.
That's a hell of a one to throw.
Opposes that, even though the baby is fully formed, has a heartbeat, can feel pain, and can suck their thumb. He also supports sex-selective abortions, which is used to discriminate against little girls. He supports dismemberment abortions, where they literally will tear the baby limb from limb. And he supports taxpayer funding of abortion all the way up
until the moment of birth. Can we pause it real quick? Can we pause real quick? Because I gotta explain this to the audience. So here's the thing that keeps going on in every single debate. I won't get into it too deeply, but I will explain this very quickly.
Alex is going to tell you about abortion.
The debate with abortion in America in 2022. Okay.
A man.
So here's a man, a white man, a white man.
Gotta show me your reaction for the TikTok.
A white man explaining abortion. All right. So.
Da-da-da.
Da-da-da. So every time that a Republican speaks on abortion, they're going to push the button and they're going to ask a Democratic candidate in this new midterm of 2022. Mm. So you want to take that fetus that just fell out of that baby at 9 months and stab it in the heart and eat it like a vampire? And the Democrat goes, I'm not answering that question. I just support abortion. And then the Republican goes back and goes, all right, well, let me explain to you. So if you understand what abortion is murder. And murder is like, you know, you could stab a 9-month-old baby and eat it, like I just said. Or you could take the 1-month-old baby and just, like, kill it a little bit. But, like, I'm saying, like, where's the line? And this motherfucker's like, let's eat 9-month-old babies. So, like, where's the line? And the other guy's answer every time, the Democratic answer every time, which is very worrisome for, like, the new age of politics. You want to get into a Handmaid's Tale. You want to get us all to be like, fuck abortion forever. Tell us that you're going to start stabbing 9-month-old babies. And so far, the Democratic side of it continues to never make a stance fully on abortion. Every single candidate across the board, Senate, gubernatorial, or in the House, if you ask them, yeah, I understand. I would like abortion after 18 weeks or 700 weeks or whatever. But what do you feel? Do you want to murder 8-year-old babies? And you're like, I don't know. I just love abortion. That's the answer every time. Mm. So it's very concerning on both sides because you have people like Lindsey Graham that are saying, I want to do abortions up to 15 weeks. And then you have Democrats respond to Lindsey Graham saying that by saying that that bill is an abortion ban. How is it a ban on abortion if he's literally creating a bill for you to have an abortion for the first 15 weeks? That's not an abortion ban. It can't be. Because the whole point of the law is for you to be able to have abortions.
Okay.
So there's like a lot of fucking nuance on this shit. But again, I just feel it's really weird that no Democrat can ever say where their stance is on abortion. But then every Republican is like, where is the stance? As though they don't even know themselves.
Well, no, because I think it all goes down to the thing of, like, can we all agree that after a certain amount of time, a baby in a womb...
But let's pick it and stand with it.
Alex, I am a woman talking, and you just got to talk for, like, 5 minutes as a man.
I am so sorry. I'm so sorry.
And I interject. I am so
sorry. I fucked up this conversation. I am so sorry.
Right? Can we all agree
that
Alex just, like, decided to just talk about this whole thing? And when I, as a woman, decided to, like, share my thought, he decided to talk over me? Okay. What I was going to say is, I think we can all agree that there's a certain point in a pregnancy where the baby is viable. And, like, because I was born, like, 3 weeks early. All right? I was born 3 weeks early as a baby. So, like, technically, if, like, I had been aborted at that 3 weeks, like, that would have been weird because I also could have existed as a person, right? So the point is, I think Republicans are just trying to be like, look, can we just set some boundaries? Because some people agree, some people don't. Can we just, like, compromise? And, like, Democrats are like, no. And it's fine, whatever.
It's
and,
like, whatever.
And logically, there has to be a thing. There has
a limit.
To be a boundary. You can't just say, and because the Democrats are saying...
And that's the argument
because
is there a limit?
Because the Democrats are saying, well, I disagree with it. Then they're opening the door for Republicans to be like, so you agree, so then you, because
you're
not
saying
setting
there's
up,
no limit.
Because you're saying there's no limit, like, we can abort a baby at 9 months.
Right.
And because the Democrats are not being like, okay, well, actually, like, yeah, I think at, like, 7 months is, like, the limit. No, they're just being like, whatever, you're not creating the boundary. And
right.
Republicans are saying, what's the boundary?
And that's what's so infuriating is you get people like Eliza Schlesinger on Joe Rogan,
mm-hmm.
MSNBC's Rachel Maddow and Alex Wagner,
mm-hmm.
all these people that are very much like, holy shit, this world's going to turn into Handmaid's Tale any second. But none of them are declaring where that stance is in abortion.
Yeah.
And we all know that if you're a Democrat and you believe in abortion, you got to start making a stance as to where you lie in the world of when it's okay. Because if you keep saying it's okay whenever, you're essentially saying you're killing actual life that's already been birthed. Or debating the life up until birth, which no one wants to debate. No one that's in the independent world of the new America, we are the new whole. I'm claiming that now. After tonight, I think there is no Republican or Democrat. There is just Kim and Alex, independents, and the rest of the independents of America.
Alex has had
too
much to drink.
We are in a new world where people believe in freedom and independence, and they're all looking at this the same way we are. Okay? I need to believe in that. I need to believe in that.
Okay.
And if I'm believing in that, that's where I'm going. Can we please... I don't want to be insensitive, but I just... Can we go to the guy that's doing the Dr. Oz, the pills? Like, it's Chris Cuomo, too. You got enough hype beast of Ron DeSantis, all right?
Okay, we got enough hype beast.
I've really pushed you. I feel like the only way we can get through this whole night...
Okay, we are officially, like, halfway through, so, okay. All right.
Ron DeSantis is going to win the debate no matter what because he has more fans.
Okay.
All right? And Ron DeSantis is definitely going to win Florida because we don't want to fuck up Florida by letting Charlie... Can we just... Let's resolve this with the debate. Is Charlie Crist a viable candidate at this point? As a Republican governor that now is a Democratic candidate for freaking governor.
No, he's not.
No, because you can't flip-flop and think we all forgot it. It's really that simple.
Okay. I will also remind Alex that it is past midnight now and we have neighbors.
But again, what would your rebuttal be to that? Is there anything else that you have to add?
I say let's move on. Let's go.
Charlie cursed abortion. This is all the issue. As a woman, do you have a boner for Charlie cursed and want to vote for him because he will support your abortions?
No. Charlie
cursed. Well, then you're not a woman.
But Alex, what is a woman?
Not you, because you're not voting for Charlie cursed. And that makes you not a woman.
All right, let's
understand.
Let's do this Fetterman debate and call it. So y'all can watch the rest of that DeSantis debate on YouTube if you
just
Google it.
Just remember, guys, the thing that I had pointed out at the beginning of the night that I will at least edit a little bit in between all of our religious squares is that on YouTube, the number one trending search was John Fetterman, besides the Ant-Man trailer that we watched. So you got
Fetterman versus
Is it
Ant-Man.
Fetterman because he roasted the fuck out of Oz and he won this whole debate and it's all over and he has that 60% lead and he's done? Or is it Fetterman because, like, he totally Stephen Hawking the shit out of this and everybody's scared as fuck?
All right, let's go.
You ready for this? Okay. You ready for this? You ready for this? Come on, you're excited. You gotta be excited. Is he gonna show up? Is he gonna show up in a wheelchair? What's he gonna do?
Why would he show up in a wheelchair?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's all fucking. It could be anything. It could be anything at this point.
Where are we going? Do you have it?
It could be anything.
Whoa, whoa.
Debate night in America.
Debate night in America. No, debate it's night no, that's in not Cuomo. America. That's his other face.
Yeah, no. It's him and that guy.
Oh. Both well, of them. Why don't they have Cuomo in the thumbnail?
Because it's that guy's show, and so they decided to give him the headline. Here we go.
He chose money over his conscience.
My opponent, John Fetterman,
if I and people said that he couldn't debate. So let's privilege. See if he debates.
Insults, stealing
if he debates,
spotlight,
I think he wins.
While voters want a voice on the issues.
I'm thinking about women's rights.
Unity of the people.
I'm looking for civility.
I think public health is most important.
Our leaders are not leaders at all.
Tonight, Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman and Dr. Mehmet Oz face-to-face for the first and only time. Both men looking to prove they have what it takes to represent
first
the people of Pennsylvania.
I mean, most of Dr. Oz's campaign was that he wouldn't debate him.
From the ABC 27 studio,
so if he debates well, I think John Fetterman wins and it's over. And it's a roast, and that means Democrats pretty much hold the Senate. And I'm fine with that if John Fetterman can hold his own.
News Nation. The stakes tonight could not be higher, not only for the Keystone State, but for the country. Control of the U.S. Senate for either party runs through Pennsylvania. Dennis Owens, WHDM political reporter and anchor here in Harrisburg, along with Lisa Sylvester from WPXI in Pittsburgh, will moderate tonight's debate.
Now. He thought it was
we want to welcome our viewers watching tonight from across the country on News Nation.
The shit up so
voters
much.
Can watch this debate in all 67 Pennsylvania counties on 9 television stations serving the Commonwealth. Before we get started, let's go over tonight's rules. Mr. Fetterman, Mr. Oz, you will have 60 seconds to answer each question.
Yeah, they got him because it's like a guy on a
question or rebuttal, you will have up to 30 seconds. Each candidate will also have 90 seconds for a closing statement. When your time is up, you'll hear this bell. Gentlemen, thank you for being here. Dennis and Lisa.
Okay, we heard the bell. This is what I'll say about the bell. You're feeling tired. I'm very drunk and loopy. We're having fun here on debate night. At least I am. My side. At any point, Kim.
I'm a sober voice of reason.
At any point, Kim, you can ring the bell. Ding, ding.
Okay.
And when you ring the bell and you declare who the winner of this debate is, it's over. We go to bed.
Okay, cool.
Okay?
All right.
Debate night in America.
Can you not stream
thank
so
you,
much
Leland. Good evening, candidates.
I'm sorry. I'm
moments ago, just colors. Met for the first time. We're happy to have you here.
Right.
Welcome to our audience, watching at home, on air, online, and on News Nation.
Not as good looking as the Florida lady
who is watching tonight to share your thoughts on social media.
No
remember
machine.
To use
He's
the
there.
Hashtag PA Senate Debate.
And you may notice these large monitors that are behind us.
Monitor.
This is
part
of our closed captioning system. It was
this
requested by John Fetterman to help him process the questions that we are asking him tonight and approved by both campaigns, and both candidates can see the monitors.
One of the screens will show only the questions being asked tonight. The second screen will capture
remember,
the
Kim,
questions
the bell.
And responses from Mehmet Oz. We have live, experienced captioners in studio to ensure we are as accurate as possible in what's sure to be a fast-paced program.
And just to note, for those of you using closed captioning at home, the captions you see are not tied to the captions that the candidates will see here tonight.
Thank
why
you, Lisa. With that, let's
why
get started.
Not?
Mr.
Different
Fetterman,
system,
we're going
dude.
To begin with you.
But why
your
not?
Political experience includes serving as the mayor of Braddock, a small borough near Pittsburgh, and one term as lieutenant governor. You're running for a seat that could decide the balance of power in Washington. What qualifies you to be a U.S. senator? You have 60 seconds.
Okay. Hi. Good night, everybody.
What?
I'm running to
no!
He's running to use Pennsylvania.
Are you going to ring the bell?
A man that spent more than $20 million of his own money
right.
to try to buy
that
seat.
Good night, everyone.
You can ring the bell at any point, Kim.
Talk about something called the Oz Rule. That if he's on TV, he's lying. He did that during his career on his TV show. He's done that during his campaign about lying about our record here. And he's also lying.
You feel bad, but I'm saying you can ring the bell at any point and put him out of his misery.
I had a stroke. He's never let me
forget
that. We
know who should win this, all right?
And I might miss some words during this debate, mush two words together.
You can't win a sympathy vote, man. You're a leader. You're supposed to be a leader.
This campaign is all about, to me, is about fighting for everyone in Pennsylvania that ever got knocked down, that needs to get back up, and fighting for all forgotten communities all across Pennsylvania that also got knocked down.
All right, you didn't ring the bell yet, Kim, and he picked himself back up there.
You are a doctor, a businessman, and television personality, but this is your first run for elected office.
Communicate and not be arrogant.
To be a U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania, you have 60 seconds.
I'm running for the U.S. Senate because Washington keeps getting it wrong with extreme positions. I want to bring civility, balance, all the things that you want to see because you've been telling it to me on the campaign trail. And by doing that, we can bring us together in a way that has not been done of late. Democrats, Republicans talking to each other. John Fetterman takes everything to an extreme, and those extreme positions hurt us all. Let's take crime as an example because it's been such a big problem. Maureen Faulkner accompanied me today to the studio. You know that her husband was a police officer in Philadelphia, was brutally murdered. John Fetterman, during this crime wave, has been trying to get as many murderers convicted and sentenced to life in prison out of jail as possible, including people who are similar to the man who murdered her husband. He does it without the rest of the parole board agreeing. He's doing it without the families on board. These radical positions extend beyond crime to wanting to legalize all drugs, to open the border, to raising our taxes. I want Washington to be civil again.
He's sounding complaining, and he also just reminded us that everybody's being manipulated for this campaign.
All right, gentlemen, on to the economy.
He added a lot of bad.
Pennsylvanians are struggling to put food on the table and gas in their cars. Our next star, Emerson College The Hill poll, shows the economy and inflation are the biggest concerns for voters. 39% of them listed that as the top issue. Beginning with you, Mr. Oz, you have blamed President Biden and reckless Democratic spending for the inflation crisis. But voters would like to hear your specific plan to cut spending. Please explain in 60 seconds.
Well, if you ask the U.S. government, they'll tell you they have 4% waste and fraud. Now, I've traveled over the Commonwealth and spoken to countless people. There was a lady in Beaver County at a county fair who told me with fear in her heart that she wanted to provide food for her son's highly nutritious chicken she wanted. She couldn't afford it anymore. That's a big problem. If we've got 4% waste and fraud, we ought to be able to take care of that. John Fetterman's, however, response continually is to raise taxes. He raised taxes as mayor. He tried
Beaver
to raise
County,
taxes as lieutenant governor, 46%. That's a big tax rate. He supported
Beaver County,
Joe Biden's recent tax rate
Enjoy
increase.
The comedy.
And he's
I think
done
it's
that
a difference.
Without paying his own taxes.
Okay, I'm going to pause. I'm going to get to pause.
You're allowed to pause as many times as you want. I can't pause at all anymore.
Okay.
And you get to declare the winner.
Can you not let me lose my train of thought? I would really appreciate that, Alex. So I think there's two types of people that are running. There are people that are genuinely running to represent their state and just, like, listen to the people. And then there are people that are running. They're running for their state. And you have other people that are running for the country. Oz is running for the country. He's like, here's my proposal, America. And like Fetterman's like, here's my proposal, Pennsylvania. And I think we've seen that across the board and other things as well. You also see that with Charlie Crist, right? Charlie Crist is like, here's my proposal, kind of America.
Oh, you're right.
And then you have DeSantis like, here's my proposal, Florida. And the same thing where you even have like the Washington senators. Mm-hmm. You have the whatever her Harris or whatever the old lady.
The Patty. Senate, Patty.
Patty. She was like, she's like running for Washington. And you have this other lady come in and it's like, well, I'm going to change everything because Washington.
Oh, I think that's why you kind of had a disdain for her. I didn't see that at first. Because for me, I was more worried about the. I look at each candidate, regardless of whether they're campaigning for national issues or state issues.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to look at it now as contextually. We're all on social media. We're all one. We all know eventually we're going to be one. We all know that these are going to end up as just votes in a system.
Yeah.
Might as well accept it now while it is. You're like, these places are different. They're separate.
They deserve separate treatment. And if you're going to treat those places separate, you deserve those votes. Which is why we've agreed on most votes, but we didn't agree on the Patty vote. Because on the Patty vote, I thought that Patty was inauthentic. And I was looking across the board at just authenticity of whatever issue. But for you, you were looking at it as anyone that's not going to talk about their state is immediately inauthentic. And I kind of agree when you bring that point up.
Because who is your audience? Who are you campaigning for? Are you campaigning for America or are you campaigning for your state? And when it comes to these specific, if you're running for president, yeah, that makes sense, okay?
Right.
Yeah, but if you're running for, I think that's also the philosophy as well, that it's like, well, these people have to run because they're going to make a difference in Washington for the country, and that's how you get these big motivations of, like, voters, like,
but I think I'm on the same side as you, which is kind of like this disdain for that. Most.
Well, because it's
regardless of inauthenticity, like, you can be inauthentic. That's what I feel like Patty kind of is. She's been there 30 years. But at the same time, Patty's inauthentic and she feels like a Hillary. But if you're looking at the way that Kim is, and I'm kind of starting to feel that same vibe.
Kim?
The way you are. It's like, authenticity first reaches what you're doing, which is you're running for your state. So if you're not reaching out to your state and saying, hey, state, this is what I think we should be doing, then you're not being authentic from the get-go.
Yeah.
So even if I look at that debate between Tiffany and Patty and I say, hey, Tiffany's being more authentic, she's bringing up points about Patty. Patty's been here for 30 years as a Washington politician. Patty is being condescending and kind of snarky like Hillary and dismissing
those
things.
I don't completely agree with those views.
But at the same time, Patty's responses, Patty's articulation of what's wrong with Tiffany is that Patty's here for Washington and Tiffany's not. And to that argument, you can't really go with Tiffany because Tiffany is only there for I fought Washington, I fought these people. I did this thing. Well, fuck it. You know what? At the end of the day, that shit's the shit that divided us to begin with. Let's remove that. And when you remove that, then you go with Patty.
You go with, and that's honestly why I think, like,
same thing
Oz
with this.
Dr. Oz is he's campaigning for America. He's like, hey, America, don't you want me to be a senator? And I think, and that's why he will probably lose. And I think that's why he's losing. Even though Fetterman has this issue with his stroke and a lot of people are
saying, people are concerned about it. And I've made jokes about it tonight. And here's the thing is that I don't make jokes at his expense. I want to make sure to note that it's not just for YouTube regulation, but it's for my own sanity. I'm making that joke because that's something that people are speaking of. And instead, people like Dr. Oz, for instance, is having to make this articulation. Hey, I'm concerned about this guy's speech and how he's talking. So instead, I got to run all these ads as though he's pro letting out criminals and all this other weird shit. And I just want him to speak on these issues publicly and We're here. We're speaking on them. We're now finding out it was all kind of a buffoonery. The concept that he can't talk. And even though that that NBC anchor got fucked over that we watched on one of our podcast episodes, and I feel really fucking upset for her because it's like she was just trying to be bipartisan just like us and just make her way through the media.
Alex is gonna cry right now.
No, for real. Like, this girl is 10 years younger than us, Kim. Think about us 10 years younger. Being able to make a public national decision about our career. And you decide that you're going to write a statement at the beginning of your piece that says, hey, I wasn't able to really talk to John Fetterman. He's fucking weird. And everyone fucking slams you and ghosts you and pushes you out. And you can't even barely fucking make another goddamn day job on the same network again.
I mean, I think she's okay. I don't think she got fired.
But it's like, it's yeah. just got all that pushback.
Okay.
And at the reality yep. of it,
all right, get your
it
point.
Was real. It was real.
Okay.
And I, and end of my point, you're circling back. Right. Again, you got the bell, you got the yeah. control.
Let's
you want to really go
little,
back?
Yes, I want to go back.
You're not little. You're not saying the Fetterman
no,
won yet.
No, let's go back a little bit.
Okay.
I'm just curious.
Fetterman's winning.
I'll say that again.
Fetterman's winning.
He's raised his own taxes 67 times, but he's raising mine and yours. Those are radical positions. They're extreme. They're out of touch with the values of Pennsylvanians. And I can make the difficult decisions, as you do in the operating room as a surgeon. I'll make them cutting our budget as well.
Those are like
to make sure we don't
promises.
Have to raise taxes.
Like, how are you going to do this? You're not in charge.
You're in pain
you're
from the high inflation
dude.
Rate.
You're,
Mr. Fetterman, I will allow a 15-second like, you know? Rebuttal. He has specifically said you have not paid your taxes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And that you want to raise taxes on Americans. How do you
not
respond?
Absolutely. The Oz rule, of course, he's lying. It was helping two students 17 years ago to help them, you know, buy their own homes. They didn't pay the bills, and it got her paid.
Oh.
And it has never been an issue in any of the campaign before.
He was just helping someone out.
It was all about nonprofit. Oh.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Fetterman.
Honest,
continuing
honest,
with you, Mr. Fetterman,
not communicated
your
well,
has
honest.
Criticized Democratic spending, as you've heard.
I like
has
the bell.
Biden
I like the bell that these nations
overspent?
Using.
And if so, where do you think spending should be cut? You have 60 seconds.
Okay.
No, here's what I think we have to fight about inflation here right now. That's what we need to fight about inflation, you know, right now, because it's a tax on working families, you know, and Dr. Oz can't possibly understand what that is like. You know, he has 10 gigantic mansions.
Ooh,
you know,
true.
We must push back against corporate greed. We must make sure that we're also pushing back against price gouging as well, too. You know, we also be able to make more in Pennsylvania and make more in America. When he had a choice to make his merchandise, the Oz label is on, he made it all in China. You know, who can you believe that can fight against inflation and pushing back against corporate greed or somebody that is choosing working in China versus over
okay.
American
okay.
workers?
I see
all right,
it.
I will allow
I see
a 15-second rebuttal
argument.
To his comments that you have been making things in China. Mr. Oz.
I've been trying to talk about policy issues with the people of Pennsylvania. As a doctor, I listen to their ideas, and I want to talk about them. When John Fetterman brings up houses, the irony is he didn't pay for his own house. He got it for a dollar from his sister. And he
that's
hasn't been able to earn a living on his own. He's lived off his parents. So it's not
but
a topic that we should be debating on the stage.
You don't
we should
understand
be talking
the
about
people that are voting.
Pause,
inflation,
pause.
The issues that are hurting
yeah, but don't, you don't understand the people that are voting are like, okay, so what? Like, so did Phil or like Joe down the street. He also got his house from his sister
right.
because we're small and like we do that. Like
right.
you can't look down at
oh,
someone.
Sorry.
You can't look down at
exactly.
someone because of for that. That's
exactly.
really shitty.
Exactly.
That's shitty. Okay, I'm gonna.
You
I'm,
also
I'm,
also you have a lot of control here. But what I realized in that statement from John Fetterman tonight is that John Fetterman is trending for one of two reasons. Either because the mob leaned against him and said that he did something really stupid tonight in this hour-long debate, or because they said that he did something so woke and powerful that he needs to be praised. And that means that the Republican side and the cancel culture side is going to push against him for that praise. I think that not knowing what that outcome is tonight, it's really interesting that what kind of control we have before
mm-hmm.
we leave this.
Yeah.
And regardless of what the clickbait becomes over the hour, because mm-hmm. obviously you're tired and you're also not drunk. I'm going to take a potty break because I've drank in 5 different drinks. So I'm on a different level than you. But
that's
I'm
really
here
hard.
Looking to your guidance.
No, I was just saying I'm calling
on this,
it.
On this
I'm calling
awesome,
it. No, I'm
awesome.
Call-
oh,
I'm calling
you're calling it.
It.
Oh, whoa, whoa, we're done?
We're done.
What is the call?
Done because Fetterman, because Dr. Oz is an insincere, mean man. Like, come on, why are you slamming someone for getting a dollar house from their sister? Like, who? Come on, like, come
Paul,
on.
One more.
Okay.
30 question.
Okay.
So they
all
both
right.
One more
full question.
One more.
I'm
response
saying, like,
each
the
on
line.
The actual
that's...
close-up, and then I will pause after both of those close-ups. We will re-debate whether this is a full
okay.
verdict.
Great.
But I see your side. I'm sorry, don't want to jump to the conclusion.
You don't refute saying, "Oh, I have seven. Yeah, I have 17 houses."
I just want to see what he does on a double question.
You don't refute. Yeah. So he what? Does I, excuse me.
Italian. He does deserve. You don't. Italian, is what I was saying. He does deserve.
I'm trying to type my point, Alex. You don't refute. You don't say. See, this is what happens, Alex.
I was just saying he doesn't deserve the failure. Or he does deserve the failure.
I'm saying you don't go as a person to say, yes, yeah, so what? I have 17 houses. Right. He only got his house because he bought it from his sister for $1.
Oh, you're right.
I'm sorry. Excuse me? Like, especially when you're talking to average people and average Americans, many of them can't buy houses. Who would be happy to be able to buy a house for $1 from their sister? Like, come on. Like, how shitty is that? You are so out of touch with reality. Do you think people care that he bought a house from his... Only the rich people, elite people that you talk to care about whether he bought a house for $1 from his sister. Everyone else in America is more than fucking happy to buy a house for $1 from their sibling.
My only refute to build upon your anger, because you have a little bit of resentment towards him.
I'm just saying, yeah.
Is this. Mm. If you look at both their backgrounds, okay? John Fetterman went for a Bachelor of Arts degree,
mm-hmm,
for a 4-year degree.
Okay.
He took it. He got it.
Okay.
Then after that, he was going to be an insurance salesman.
Okay.
For his dad's company.
Okay.
But his best friend in college died.
Oh, and he shit.
He couldn't do insurance car work anymore.
Okay.
So he decided to be part of this Democratic-funded, weird master's degree campaign for Harvard, where he gets to decide what families in lower income organizations in his area get to
I'm
benefit.
Sorry, Alex, you were talking exactly like him. You were talking anyway.
That's why I give him the benefit of the doubt.
Come on,
but you're not ringing the bell till the 32nd, 32nd.
Okay.
I do agree Dr. Oz deserves to be ended this debate. With his behavior at this point, he is being soulless.
All right, continue.
John Fetterman is winning.
They're talking about their kitchen table.
He got his Pennsylvania house from his own inlays from $1.
Fetterman, we have to continue on. We'll continue on with a question, a follow-up question to you, Mr. Oz. This one is just for you. You tweeted in August that you will never stop fighting to lower gas prices for Pennsylvanians. Does that include supporting a suspension of the federal gas tax? You have 30 seconds.
I'm supportive of reducing taxes, but we want to be thoughtful about the long-term game plan to get gas taxes down, and frankly, all energy prices down. Gone around the Commonwealth. I've witnessed people say, I'm not going on vacation this year because I can't afford to pay to take my trailer to the campground. They can't even get there. What we have to do is ensure that we don't have increased inflation, and the best way to do that is reduce gas prices. John Fetterman has gone after the energy industry, called it a stain on Pennsylvania, and argued we have to ban fracking.
Okay, wait, no, we didn't get another back and forth. Let's get another
back and forth. You want the John Fetterman,
another
right?
Another back and forth. Yeah, let's continue.
If John Fetterman has a 30 seconds, are you good to declare?
Thank you, Mr. Oz. We will get to the issue of fracking later on in this discussion. But meantime, turning back to you, Mr. Fetterman, for a follow-up. In an op-ed for the Wilkes-Barre Times-Leader, you wrote, quote, "It is time we crack down on the big price-gouging corporations that are making record profits while jacking up prices for all of us." How do you plan to do this, sir? You mentioned going after price gouging corporations. How do you plan to do this? You have 30 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. We have to keep pushing back on that. And he would never make that choice to fight for families here in Pennsylvania. You know, he has never met an an oil company that he doesn't swipe right about. You know, he has never been able to stand up for working families all across Pennsylvania. You know, we must push back. Inflation has hurt Americans and Pennsylvania's families, and it has given the oil companies record profits.
All right, thank you.
Okay, now look. I said I would give 30 seconds each. I gave 30 seconds to Oz, and I asked you. You said that you wanted the follow-up from Fetterman. After the follow-up from Fetterman, can we declare a winner still? Is the bell still rung? Does Fetterman still win?
Yeah.
I completely agree. I think tonight you will see a lot of fucking bullshit from the right and from people even in the middle that are going to make fun of the way in which Fetterman speaks tonight.
And yes, it's not
And
perfect.
That you need, like, here's the thing. As someone that made fun of it so much beforehand, like, you saw me when I was like, Dr. Oz versus, like, we all knew what the cliche was coming in.
Hold on. Let's play that clip back. Yeah, see, he did.
Dr. Oz versus, but that we all knew what those stereotypes were, and that's why I actually do them. It's not necessarily because I feel that way. It's because that's how I feel pop culture feels. And that is how I feel pop culture feels at the end of the day. Yeah. And that's how I feel his name is trending, is because there's a lot of catch bait you can grab on this motherfucker to make him look stupid tonight. But at the end of the day, if you actually watch the fucking debate, we watched about 11 minutes. We watched about 11 minutes. Kim rung the bell. Kim deserved to ring the bell after the first debate with Ron DeSantis, where I wanted to ring the bell from the start.
Yeah, but Alex is still going to like talk your ear off. Even though I rang the bell, because he wants to.
But both bells were rung, and I would say both bells were agreed upon.
Yeah, definitely.
Which are that Ron DeSantis and John Fetterman won both of these debates.
Yeah, and the thing is, it all comes down to authenticity, and it all comes down to, do you sincerely care? And like Dr. Oz is just. Okay, going to the thing where...
Nationalist perspective again.
So yes, Fetterman can't... Can you stop playing it? It keeps doing this weird thing, and I can't focus.
I'm shutting it off.
Thank you. So Fetterman, yes, he has problems speaking. Yes, he has a disability. We can call that, or whatever it is, a challenge. And he can't always form the proper sentences.
Right.
But you have Dr. Oz, who perhaps forms two perfect sentences. Like, the fact is, he's too slick. And so, yes, he might be able to put the sentences better, but he means the sentences are a lot of crap.
They're a lot more focused. They're a lot more orchestrated based on the movement.
They're slick.
They're part of the Republican propaganda.
No. But he's a salesman selling you a thing.
And he's selling you Trump's world.
And yes, he can sell this stuff. Like, and speak well, but it doesn't mean that you want to buy the shit he's peddling. Fetterman isn't able to do the best communication of how he feels, but at the end of the day, he is still the one that actually means what he says. And I think people...
You feel that from the start.
And I think deep down in all these races, that's what anyone really wants to vote for. They want to vote for a person who's sincere, who means what they say, and is looking out for the average person. And and that's who's going to win in this game. And I think that's a great way to end this election special. Let's just hope that the best person wins in every single thing, regardless of what they stand for and everything. Because as true independents, we know that we side in different things. And yes, you can vote for someone even though you don't fully agree with everything they're saying.
Woo!
But if you say, hey, they're a good person, and you know what, they have a good moral barometer, and they're going to vote for what's ever best for you, even though I don't agree with it every time,
look at it that way every single time, fucking diligently, with exhaustion, even if you're in a fucking abusive kind of relationship with politics at this point. If you care about it, if you're still watching it, if you're still paying attention even just a little bit, watch it with diligence over what side you want to choose every time based on the person.
Yeah. You don't have to watch with diligence. Just watch with your heart and your gut.
Your gut.
Your gut instinct.
We didn't watch with diligence, because if we watched with diligence, we would have watched all fucking... It would have been a five-hour special.
It would have been.
But we watch with our heart. You're right.
You watch with your heart and your gut and your deep instincts as a person. And hopefully, if you're a good person, you know, you have those things. But if you don't, then don't. But anyway, thank you all for hanging out with
and
us.
And we're not shunning anybody for their belief on it. You know what I mean? It's just make sure you have a belief.
Yeah,
make sure
you have as you can see, like, standard. As true independents, we sided with a bunch of people, Democrats and Republican, in different ways. So let that lead you into the polls. Let that lead you into the polls. If you already voted, you know, whatever. Anyway, thank you all for hanging out with our election special. And
question.
I'm wrapping this up, Alex.
Who are the people that already voted?
Oh, I've seen people that are already voted.
Who are they, though?
Well,
because I'm not one of them, and neither are you.
Okay.
And I just want to know who are they before you if shut you the are, camera off.
Hey, guys.
Please, quickly explain. Who are the people that already voted?
Alex, the people that already voted, comment on this video and let us know why you voted early.
Oh,
all right, thank everyone
come on.
For
it
an
been
awesome
a
night.
Better joke
no, thank everyone for an awesome night. Thank you for following us. Make sure to stick around on Envy for October 31st. We're dropping our special, our Halloween feature, Zombies in the Antique Shop. Thank
comedy.
You all.
Comedy.
Comedy horror. All right, thank you all, and I am tuning up. Bye.
Bye.